position. You are the resistance.
Jones Network. Tomorrow's news today. They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Special Saturday shows, other special impromptu shows. Well, not impromptu, we get really heavily prepared for them, but we like to come on at random times, going over X and over Rumble and over AlexJonesLive.com, because I can go live whenever I want. So we just went live at about 12:20 Central Standard Time. It's now 12:23. I'm your host, Alex Jones, and we're going to be here for the next few hours. Got special guest Michael Yon joining us and more. And everything is really coming to a head with all the cover-ups that have been going on with the Democrats before and then now with Trump, since he's been in for over a year and a half with the midterms, less than 5 months away. We have the giant cover-up that's obviously happened with Epstein and his death and his whole network. We have the cover-up of Butler, Pennsylvania, and the obvious accomplices and the admitted cover-up there by the Democrats previously. Let's continue with the Republicans. And we just, you know, have so many other major scandals that have Democrat fingerprints all over them. But Trump's DOJ and his famous Democrat lawyer, Todd Blanche, who he's now nominated to be the main AG, he's the acting AG, everything's being shelved. Where are all the indictments for everything Doe's discovered? Cut and dry, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars stolen. Department of Energy, EPA, USAID, just everywhere. And I mean, it just goes on and on. Everybody wants the indictments. We were promised all these indictments, and none of them have basically materialized. Why is that? Well, now Tucker Carlson came out 3 days ago And he said, listen, I talked to Bongino last year, and he was basically hysterical, saying, no, stop blaming me for a cover-up of Butler. Trump ordered this. And we now know in the past it was Trump ordered the cover-up of Epstein. He later even said it. He said, if you keep looking at this, you're dumb, you're low IQ, you're not MAGA. And then they admitted that he told them, move along. He even said on TV a couple times, I want them focused on crime and, you know, enforcement. I don't want them looking at this. It's going nowhere. It doesn't exist. It's a hoax. So I was horrified about 14 months ago when he started that, about 6 months into his administration. And now it's just continued. And I've been there at Tucker's house in Florida and in Maine. And one time I was there for like 2 days and stayed with him. The other time, I was only there for a day. I got in at night, did a show in the morning and left. He was on the phone with Bongino. Both times I was there, Bongino was calling him up. And he said, basically freaking out on him and angry at him and saying there is no cover-up of Butler. But that, you know, they were going to get to the bottom of it. They were going to release all these files. And I remember Tucker at the time saying, this is off record, but yeah, you know, this is all coming from Trump. So Tucker comes out and talks about that a few days ago, and Bongino predictably came out and said that he's a big liar. And if you watch the 11-minute clip, you want me to subject you to it? I will. He just looks like a different person. Back when he was exposing Epstein being murdered and exposing the human trafficking rings and exposing the left, I mean, I've known Bongino for over a decade. He looked genuine. He sounded genuine. Now he looks like he's got a gun to his head or he's a deer in the headlights. Just his body language. But then, I mean, look at him right here. Looks like a totally different guy than 2 years ago. He always has that weird look on his face. But forget the body language. We know there's a cover-up in Butler. It's insane. We know there was another shooter. We know they covered up his giant online presence. We know they covered up foreign connections that were found on his cell phone. We know he was in some weird safe house and trained at Homeland Security facilities and had his cell phone pings in D.C. at the FBI headquarters. And Bongino talked about all of this when he was podcaster Bongino. And it was all accurate. Then he gets in there and says, I've been briefed. I've seen it all. There's nothing there. Well, we saw him on the roof for 10 minutes. He's got a gun. He's got a gun and a stand down. We were told the Secret Service finally shot him. They didn't. A cop did. And it just goes on and on and on. So I don't know what the cover up is in Butler, but I'm going to hit this first and all the other news. And there's a lot of it. I don't know what the cover up is, but I sure as hell know there's one. Now look, looks to me like real people got shot. Trump's the greatest actor in history. If that was fake. I said Thursday and Friday, I think it was probably the deep state slash Israel. And they said, listen, you're dead if you don't come in and work for us because he survived it. I mean, that's my speculation. Turns out separately, that's what Candace Owens thinks. That's what Megyn Kelly is saying. Michael Savage has now come out against Trump and just said that he's the war president now, continuing Ukraine, continuing Iran. And that he's betrayed us. And Michael Savage is certainly not some low IQ leftist. Megyn Kelly came out and said, if true, Maha is officially dead, breaking very active rumor mill currently with specifics from senior USG government employees that RFK Jr. will be leaving as Secretary of HHS in July after July 4th meeting was apparently held last Monday, Oz to head transition team. And boy, if that's the truth, that's really bad as well. And the best thinking I've got on this, because 99% of what I do is just what's already happened, analysis we have. It's not speculation. I'm not a conspiracy theorist like they always claim. Conspiracy theorists just theorize about, you know, things that can't be proven all day, basically. Or theorize about things that aren't known yet. But in these cases, we just don't know. But it looks to me like the formula, and I've talked to a lot of insiders and experts, they agree, is that Trump brings in the good guys to find all the corruption and to map it out, and then Trump's cabinet, which has a lot of really bad guys on it, insider trading and things, they then come in and use that to take control of the deep state itself and to take control of the fraud networks themselves, not to dismantle it. Now, in the first admin, Trump was not deceptive. He didn't have insider trading. It was extremely straight-laced. He got eaten alive. This is a new Trump administration, and it's going sideways on us. And the Democrats are going to have a field day even when they win the midterms with all this information. That's why Trump's promised all these pardons to everybody. He said his entire administration. Now, I'm going to get into Democrats today and what they're up to as well, and look at the globalists overseas and look at what's happening in the UK and the latest developments there. It's amazing on so many fronts with the uprisings that have happened. We'll also look at how internet disinformation operates with a great example. Journalist Jon Stewart dropped an AI pic of Trump with three tall, platinum-haired figures in red military jackets claiming Trump posted this and then quickly removed it. Conspiracy crowd instantly went full Nordic aliens lore. Memes are cooking the timeline. And then this is just Q-type stuff because people want to believe it. I'm going to be getting into that coming up today as well. Just to give you a snapshot of what's going on in the UK. Remember these little girls last year? She said that they grabbed her sister and drug her away the day before and assaulted them and attacked them and all the rest of it. And then she went home and brandished a hatchet and a butcher knife, you know, out of her dad's utility stuff. And they said that she was a little white supremacist and the people hadn't done anything. Oh, they pled guilty to everything she said they did. When it actually went to trial, it was all true what the girls said. So we got big news on replacement migration and what's happening over there. But let me now go back to the controversy. That's important, obviously, because if we find out what really happened at Butler, if we find out what really happened with Epstein in his murder, obviously not suicide, if we get to the bottom of all this and what happened to Charlie Kirk, and it's all the same FBI covering it up, then we can bring down the deep state. But regardless, the attempted cover-up of all of this is really waking up a lot of people. So I can solve the mystery, and I will today, of what's going on, okay? Because we don't need the FBI with Butler. I mean, we know what happened. We know there was another shooter. We know the trajectory. We know what hit the other crowd. We have video of the bullet hitting bags and shirts, some of the bullets coming from the other angle before it, you know, killed somebody, and two others were wounded. We know there was two shooters. It's in the acoustics. We've had all the sniper experts on the show, a bunch of them. They all concur. We know there was an ongoing cover-up of his foreign connections and that he had a huge online presence, that they said there was no online presence, that the FBI tried to expunge the presence. And the Democrats were covering up the Secret Service stand-down. And then when Patel and Bongino get in, they just continue the cover-up. And did that 180 when they started going on, you know, TV just a few months into the administration, saying, no, Epstein killed himself. He wasn't a child trafficker. He had no accomplices. Crooks acted alone. Case closed. On and on and on. Well, Tucker comes out and reveals what he revealed to me last year. It just so happened to be going on the times I was with him. That Bongino had always known there was a cover-up and covered it all with great precision. Smart guy. Until he joined the dark side, obviously, or whatever's going on, whatever they have on him. I don't know. I'm speculating. But he then comes out and says, you know, Tucker's a liar. All the evidence is out there. Crooks acted alone. So Tucker goes, hey, dude, you told me Trump ordered the investigation shut down. And I remember a clip late last year. Trump's like, we got a lot of other things going on. Yeah, we'll probably look at Butler. Before I wanted it looked at, we're probably just going to move on from that. And we know it's Trump on all these things. I mean, I told people right when this all started last year, 4 months in the administration, I said, no, this is Trump ordering Epstein shut down. Oh, shut up. It isn't him. And then a week later, he comes on and says, yeah, it's me. You're low IQ. You're a Democrat idiot. If you think this is real, Epstein is a hoax. And Roger runs up there to talk to him and says, people are going to get pissed. It's going to hurt you in the polls. Plus, you're not connected to it. Why are you doing this? Get out there and explain. No. Epstein did some bad things. There were some bad people. But the way it's being spun by the media trying to connect me is a hoax. Then Trump came out at a press conference, said that once, but then reverted back to the bullcrap. And I said, if this continues, I've got to, you know, have to come out and say, it looks like Trump's turning to the dark side. We'll still take some of the good things he does and some of the good cabinet people, what they do, and support that. But overall, we got to really be concerned here now. And I think now, over a year and a half in, it's clear we were right, unfortunately. So Tucker comes out a couple days ago and says, we played that clip Thursday and Friday. Go ahead and find me that Tucker clip. It's Mario in the Fall. It's only a minute and a half long. And he explains that Bongino called him up and was panicked because the FBI was getting a bunch of heat for saying there was a cover-up. And he was saying, well, listen, Trump wants it shut down, so that's why I move along. Okay? And so now Bongino comes out and says Tucker is not telling the truth. And then he builds these straw men and he says, listen, here's an article in November where the FBI says we've got a huge investigation into Butler going. And then Tucker says in December that I told him that the investigation was basically shut down under Trump's orders. But you just saw the proof in November. We said there was a wide-ranging investigation. What type of gaslighting is that? If there's a news article with the FBI saying we're investigating, even if they were just covering up, a month before, how does him then telling Tucker a month later, no, you're not going to get anything, we basically shut down the investigation, how does that discredit Tucker? Plus, you can just go into a search engine and type in FBI says Butler, Pennsylvania crooks investigation inactive, closing, essentially over. Every rock's been overturned. You heard all that. I have the video clips. You want to see it? Want to see a compilation of that? So I've got the articles right here, Fox News, you name it, overhead shot. Let's put up the HD of this, too, if we can. Exclusive. FBI concludes Trump shooter Thomas Crooks acted alone after unprecedented global investigation. And then they say, oh, we've had the biggest global investigation ever, but now the case is inactive because we essentially say that it's over and there is no cover-up. We've looked into every nugget, overturned everything, everything I just said. You can go watch the interview with Bongino. It's like 15 minutes long. You want to go see it? There it is. It's on Fox News with this headline. You can go see it, okay? I watched it again this morning. This case is currently sits, is pending in active status with the official call of the investigation, one of the largest mobilizations of FBI resources in history that, frankly, continues to this day. So there's a lot of mixed statements here, but they had shut it down and were telling people it was basically over by December. And that's when Tucker's having these conversations with him saying, why are you stopping the investigation? None of this adds up. Then Tucker says, by the way, I've got all the text messages of us communicating about this. And Bongino shows some of them, doesn't say this is all of them, that are on basically other subjects. So I know how Bongino operates. Now, separately, here's why I know you can't believe anything comes out of Bongino's mouth. We saw him and Patel and others making the rounds on Joe Rogan and on Fox everywhere saying, trust me, I wouldn't lie to you. I'm Cash Patel. Every rock's been overturned. I've seen the file. There's nothing there. I know it's hard to believe, but Crooks acted alone. You want me to play those clips again when they're like deer in the headlights on Fox? You've all seen it. There's no need, okay? That is so famous. We played it probably 100 times. Should I play it? Maybe we should. So now, oh, everything's been overturned. I'll assure you there's nothing there. That's basically saying it's over. So Tucker calls him and says, what are you doing? He goes, hey, the big guy wants it shut down, which we know all this stuff is from Trump. Shut down the Epstein. Shut it all down. That then gets translated into Tucker's a liar. Well, here's the problem. We have all the evidence. We can all see what happened in Butler. No, there's a cover-up. And we all know what the FBI said about, no, I know it looks bad, but trust us. We've seen the file. We've been briefed. But whatever the FBI wanted to give them as the director and deputy director to just move along and go back to sleep. But here's why I really know it's bull. A couple months ago when Bongino came back, the podfather or whatever he calls himself, to his crashing ratings from one of the top shows to very low viewed now because people are just sick of garbage. And he attacks me out of the clear blue and says, oh, about 10 years ago, I was on Alex Jones's show. You want to go see it? You can just pull it up. Type in Bongino says Alex Jones asked him to lie. And that he was on the phone in an interview. And during the break, I go, hey, I want to have you enter a conspiracy with me to make up a fake story for the audience. And he said, I'm not going to do that. And I said, it's okay. It's what everybody does. Here's a problem. John Harmon's been here 25 years. And he's our affiliate relations guy. But up until about 6 years ago, he was the guy that was putting the guests on the board, the phones, the Skype, the Zoom, all that. He heard all those conversations with Bongino. So did the crew. They hear all my conversations with guests. I rarely even talk to a guest instead of saying, hi, great to have you here. Thank you so much. And they send me what they want to cover. I'll send them whatever I want to cover. I've never gone, hey, let's make up a story together to anybody privately over the phone, and certainly not with a whole studio room when we're setting guests up. Everybody in there is hearing it in front of my crew. Everybody, hey, let's lie. I mean, this is just crazy. And you notice he didn't say what the lie was. He just says, I tried to get him to join a conspiracy to lie to the audience about something, and that he still went on, and he implies like he went along with it because he was new to all this. And I'm just sitting there hearing this going, what the hell? Who comes up with lies like this? I never sat there with some guest saying, let's make something up. And then again, he won't say what it is, but that's why he says, listen, that's why you got to know he's bad. You got to know he's bad because he did this. And I'm sitting there going, if people believe that lie, which really nobody did, what about the logic of why didn't he come out public 10 years ago or 11 years ago? Why'd he continue on the show? I mean, there's so many news stories every day. Why the hell would I even imagine, let's make something up? But I started watching him more after that. When he's attacking people, he does the same thing. Oh, I knew him behind the scenes. I can't tell you, but this person's really bad. Everybody that knows him knows the way they act, the way they look in public, that's not how they are behind the scenes. It's always, we're not genuine. We're not real. Everybody's a fraud but Bongino. And so when I saw him say that a few months ago in one of his first shows back, I was just like, I was watching it, and I was watching it again. I played it on air. People were blown away. I mean, who comes up with something like that? Oh, here. I've got a guest conference button right here. I just hit it twice, and I can have multiple guests go to each one I want. And imagine I come on and say, hey, I want to make up a big story today. Will you join me in that? Oh, no, I'm not going to lie to people. I'm honest George Washington. I can't tell a lie. I mean, the cheapest of lies, the most who would even believe that? Some guy I've interviewed 5-6 times, barely know him. Hey, we're coming back in 2 minutes. Let's make up a lie. Here's the lie I want you to tell. It'll get us a lot of publicity. Oh, no, I can't tell lies. Oh, well, everybody does it. Come on, lie with me. I mean, what the hell, dude? I mean, seriously, I got really pissed when I first saw it. And the guy's a complete sociopath, bare minimum. I mean, how he sits there, and of course, he doesn't do it well. He looks like a complete liar when he's saying it. Maybe we should air that again? No, it'll take forever. I got too much to cover. The point is, you can't believe anything comes out of this guy's mouth, okay? It's a good thing I was ever friends with him. Because if somebody's my friend and does that to me, I get really pissed. As you've seen before, when Owen Schroyer said some stuff that wasn't true. I mean, nothing at the level of Bongino, but stuff he knew was absolutely not true. And you want to punch my buttons, man. I've been somebody's friend for a long time and had dinner with him a million times and hung out with him and laughed and stuff. And I'd turn on the internet one day and somebody's, you know, saying stuff, I got freaking pissed. And I'm pissed off at Bongino, man, because I'm a human being, buddy. I have a family. I've been attacked a lot. I've stood up for this country a lot longer than you have, Mr. Tough Guy. You can get up there like a sociopath and say I tried to enlist you in fraud, but you won't even say what it is. But I'm done talking about it. The point is, we all know Trump's the one ordering all these cover-ups. And we know it was Kash Patel under orders from Trump that killed foreign involvement in Charlie Kirk's assassination. And I broke that months before it hit the news, the meeting I told you, where it was, when it was, who was in the meeting. And I got that from two people in the meeting who were scared to put it out themselves. They had me do it. So that's where we're at on all this. And so, yeah, I'm sick of Bongino, and I'm sick of all these people. I wanted to believe in them. I supported them. We needed to go after the deep state. I've been targeted by them. When they got in, we'd done a 4-year, 2 years before, and never got a response back. And then about a month after Trump's in, we get the disc with the FBI files where Obama put me under national security investigation in 2013, right through to that day. And I was like, oh, my God, it's for real. They're great. I love Bongino. I love Cash Patel. And then I started seeing the cover-up stuff and the deer in the headlight stuff, just like you did. And then now, fast forward, I'm a loser. I'm low IQ. I'm a fraud. I'm trying to get everybody to lie. You know, that's what I get. So we've already got them, but for tomorrow's show, maybe Mondays, I'm going to get more of the compilations of Bongino, covering Butler, covering all of it, covering Epstein, and then I'm going to show you the new Bongino, who then tells you, just on the credibility of the FBI, trust me, I've been briefed, I've seen it. He also said, middle of last year, oh, we're going to release a full report on Butler with all this new information. Oh, we're going to release all this new Epstein stuff. They didn't. Yeah, that goes back to the time it happened. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino looked like they were being held hostage during a Fox News interview when they claimed that Trump was would-be assassin Thomas Crooks acted alone in Butler, Pennsylvania. They say, trust us. We've seen the file. Yeah, well, I saw the event from all the amateur camera people and all the witnesses and the police and private investigators that were sent out there like Hagman. And they had FBI agents and others pull them over and threaten to basically, you know, disappear them if they didn't get out of town. So, yeah, we know all about the cover-up here, buddy boy. So let me get into the meat and potatoes now of this. I'm going to move on to the other stories. But this is a big deal. Here is what triggered all this a few days ago. Tucker talking about what he said happened, which all the evidence points towards being true. And then I'm going to go directly to Candace Owens giving her take on it, which I agree with. Either the assassination was staged, which it didn't look like to me. That's the best acting in the universe. One take. I just don't believe it. Or Trump finally realized these people are going to kill me. I can't stop them. And he went ahead and made a deal with them. And I think that's what happened. So let's go ahead and go to both those clips. And then I'll subject you to Bongino a little bit of it. But here it is.
I know that about Butler. I know that Trump shut down the investigation into Butler. That is a fact. Dan Bongino told me that when he worked at the FBI. And Dan Bongino himself was terrified when I spoke to him in December. It's such a long, boring story, but basically I came into possession, I beg your pardon, accidentally came into possession of a lot of the social media posts that we were told didn't exist that were posted by Thomas Crooks in the months and years before the shooting. And I was amazed that the FBI had lied about this. So I called Cash Patel and I later called Dan Bongino and I says, you know, what is this? I'm not attacking you. It was the previous FBI administration that did this. It was Chris Wray, but what is this? And Dan Bongino became hysterical with me on the phone. I've known Dan a long time for many years and always gotten along with him. You know, whatever his faults, you know, nice guy, nice, certainly very nice to me. I never had a problem with Dan ever. And that problem began when I brought this information to his attention and he became a different person. He was clearly terrified. I didn't get it at first, but he was hysterical. And ultimately, after a long series of text exchanges, which I still have, and phone conversations, he said, look, take it up with Trump. He's the one who shut down the investigation. And that was, I think, the first or second week of December. I think it was the beginning of the second week of December. I have it written down. But that was the moment and I realized, oh, wow. You know, there's no good explanation for shutting down an investigation into your own attempted murder. Like, this is not what we've been told it was.
I am now of the position that something is very wrong with Butler. And whatever it is that is wrong with Butler, it may go a very long way in terms of explaining what is wrong with Trump, what went wrong with Trump. Because we have two options here, okay? If you almost get assassinated and you do not fire the Secret Service agents that failed to protect you on that day. They moved you off the stage, but certainly failed to protect you on that day and see somebody on the rooftop. And then beyond that, you determine that you are satisfied with the investigation and you allow lies to come out about the investigation or lies to remain about the investigation, saying that the person who allegedly fired the shots had no social media background. And then you withhold information from the public. We only have two options to consider. The first thing is that the entire thing was staged and Trump was involved. Trump knew it was going to happen, and he allowed the entire assassination attempt to take place, thereby thrusting him into this category where all of us went, oh, there must have been a reason that God saved him. I'm not inclined to believe that option, okay? The second option is that it was a real assassination attempt. It actually had nothing to do with the person that it was blamed on. And Trump did escape with his life, and it was a warning. Do not ever do, well, you know, whatever it is, like a gangster sort of warning. And I am inclined to believe that that is what happened. This would completely transform Trump. It would transform, it would make him obey. It's like a gangster. Basically, you take money from a gangster, you take hundreds of millions of dollars from a gangster, they fire a warning shot, maybe because, you know, you willy-nilly said in front of Charlie Kirk and Andrew Colbert that you were going to take somebody's money and then F them over, not knowing that that information got back to some people. And you escape with your life, and after that, you just did whatever these people said. I'm just thinking here, because I believe Tucker is telling the truth. And Dan's entire face and demeanor and panic and yelling and threatening to fight signals to me that Tucker is telling the truth, that Tucker told him on the phone that it was Trump himself that shut down this investigation. Okay. That is what is being reflected to me in the worst poker face that I've ever seen in Dan Bongino. He can't even think rationally. He's just angry and wants to fight because he's been exposed. Okay.
Yeah. And I've tried to think back to staying a couple days with there with Tucker in Florida and going to dinner with him and lunch and all that breakfast and all the stuff off record he was telling me that now I see him coming out with. I was with Tucker twice last year, once in Florida and then the last one in Maine. And it was in the, I didn't look at the days, but it was in the winter. And we literally got started late for the podcast taping in Maine because he had Trump and Bongino and the vice president calling him because he was leaving that night to have dinner with the vice president. Tucker was in D.C. He didn't tell me what that was about, but he just was like, "Just this is off record, but I got a really bad feeling." He goes, it's Trump. It's Trump covering everything up. It's Trump. They're all telling me that he just is screaming at everybody. He goes, when I'm up there, Trump's melting down. He goes, in the past, he really listened to me about this war stuff. Now he's not. I think they're going to take us to war with Iran. This was after Midnight Hammer. He goes, I've got Netanyahu all over my ass. But he goes, I got to tell you, so many people in Israel, high level, are absolutely saying he's out of control. It's going to get Israel destroyed in the end. And, of course, he went and got the interview with all the former Mossad heads and a whole bunch of former generals. He put out like a BB file, hour and a half documentary earlier this year before the war. And then everything I heard Tucker telling me, he comes out and he delivers on. He's like, I'm talking to a whole bunch of the top Israelis. They say this is insane. And, of course, they know I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Israel. I've always been pro-Israel, he said. Everybody knows. He's just not pro-Israel going completely insane. So I know he's telling the truth because I witnessed a lot of this. I saw so much of this. It's like when they convicted Roger of lying to Congress, and then they said, no, you knew WikiLeaks. You knew Julian Assange, and you released them. Roger Stone wanted a job at InfoWars in 2016. And he wanted to be a host. And I literally made a contingent on, I said, fine, get Julian Assange. Because that was the hottest thing then. And he said, I only know him through Randy Credico, this New York guy. I don't know. I've just heard from Randy. He told Randy it's going to be really bad on the Clintons. And so that's all Roger knew. He told Congress that. I was there. And then Roger, you know, did get the job, did a great job for a while. When he was there until he went, you know, until the trial and he had the gag order so he couldn't do the show anymore. But that's just an example of how I know Roger Stone wasn't lying because I was right in the middle of it. And it's the same thing. It's like with Bongino. Man, the guy says that 10, 11 years ago, I'm on the phone with him during a break asking him to make up a story with me. Why the hell would I do that? I want to have accurate news. I don't want to make up news stories. I don't enlist people I barely know or anybody, period. Let's go tell a big lie. It is so illogical. But notice he wouldn't say, I know I've already said this, it just pisses me off, what the fake story was. See, that way you can't even really challenge it because it's all just this nebulous crap. And look at his face. They found the video with him doing it. Look at that face. That is the most disingenuous, rat-like face. He knows he's a sack of garbage. He knows when he says that it's a lie. He knows, I know, he's a liar. Like, dude, what did I do to you? Why? Why are you doing this to me? What did I do to you? And the last time I ever talked to him was like 10 years ago. Probably only came on my show like 7, 8 times. He starts yelling at the producer. And they say, hey, man, Gino may not come on. He's mad at you. So I go on the line during the break. Hey, man, what's wrong? He goes, I'm going to tell you right now. They broke in my house. They broke in my car. They're telling me that you're saying I'm your Secret Service source for Hillary and health problems. And I went, Bongino, it's Joe Biggs, the Secret Service. I talked to some of them, but they're all big fans at the RNC in Cleveland a few months ago. And then Joe went out and got partied with them and got drunk. And they told him a bunch of stuff, that she's in a black ambulance and collapses. I don't know if that's true, but... And then a few months later in New York, she collapses on 9/11. It was all true. I was like, dude, that's not you. He goes, listen to me, effer. You better not be the one saying I'm your source. And I said, whoever's telling you that is a fucking liar. And I said, if you want to come on, that's fine. I started cussing back at him. I said, I said, dude, what is your problem? You're not the only Secret Service agent we know. He said, all right, I'll do the interview. It's okay. It's all right. And then he comes out later and, you know, says more crap. I don't know what your problem is, dude. I don't know what your problem is, but you've got a major problem. And now it's known that Trump ordered all these investigations killed for whatever reason. And then now you're trying to spin it around like Tucker Carlson's a liar. It's unbelievable. So I want to move on from this, but here's the clip from a few months ago when he came back to a show attacking me with total lies. Here it is.
Folks, I'm sorry to tell you, but I've been in this business a long, long time. And I am sorry to tell you this because I wish I didn't have to. A lot of the people you put faith in this business in general, behind the scenes are totally different people. Alex Jones is full of shit. I don't really care. You want to listen to his show? You have fine. Go right ahead. This guy is a fraud. I will never forget early on in my political career when I was running for office, I got invited on. I did the network InfoWars a couple of times early on. I was young in the business, whatever. I went on the show figuring might as well talk to people. You get your name out there. And it's during a break before I come on. And I'm just telling you, like, the conversation was so disturbing. Oh, well, I'm just going to, like, do it anyway because that's what the audience said. I was like, well, it's probably not a good idea. It's not exactly true. Oh, yeah, well, that's what they... I couldn't believe it. The guy's a total fake and a phony. It's not real. It's all bullshit. Listen, that Jeffrey Epstein story is a big deal. Please do not let that story go. Keep your eye on this. Catherine Rumler, I want you, we need to keep the heat on this case, folks. There are a lot of people who are knee deep in the Washington swamp who are not telling you the truth about serious allegations out there that Epstein may have had video and audio of people out there doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And you should be asking yourself the question, how is it that all these people, the CIA director, the Obama fixer, Bill Clinton, all intersected paths with Jeffrey Epstein? Jeffrey Epstein isn't with us anymore, and nobody seems to want to talk about it.
You said Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. People don't believe it.
He killed himself. I've seen the whole file. He killed himself.
I know it's hard work.
The man is a villain. I mean, he's a villain. Dan Bongino is a villain. Look at him now. Look what he's turned into. It's like the portrait of Dorian Gray or something. He just gets more like Gollum from Lord of the Rings the more he has the evil ring on. I try to move on from him. I try to not talk about him. His ratings are in the toilet like Ben Shapiro and everybody else's. And I don't know what really happened to Butler. I think real people got shot. Look real to me. Trump, the ear being grazed, all that. But all I know is we have cover-ups of all this stuff going on. You got to ask the question why. And you can pull it all up where they basically said that, that, you know, the investigation has been concluded. Now they're saying, oh, no, see, Tucker said the investigation was concluded. It's not concluded. We're still investigating. What? You run around for over a year telling us he acted alone, open and shut. Trust me, stop asking questions about it. Go back to sleep. It's bedtime. All right, I'm done talking about that. I just spent 30, 40 minutes on it, but it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's stunning to me that he thinks we're so stupid that he can sit there and piss on us and tell us it's raining. And I've got the clips, remember Trump early on, oh yeah, I think it's weird, I want it all investigated. Why did crooks have all these cell phones and all this other stuff? And then a few months later, he's like, yeah, they're busy. I can see why they're going to move on. Why would Trump want that shut down? All right, moving on from that, let's take a short break. And then when we return, I am loaded for bear here, ladies and gentlemen. And I mean big time. We got Tulsi Gabbard as she prepares to leave her position as the head of the Director of National Intelligence Oversight, exposing the bioweapon operations that were confirmed before the war even started. Then the media tried to say they didn't exist. She's released her big report on the bioweapon facilities in Ukraine. That's a big deal for many, many reasons. Then we are going to get into what's happening in the UK with the Islamic invasion and the uprisings against it. And then also want to look at how the media and the culture is trying to whip a lot of black folks up into calling for violence and basically a race war, and how that's a major project of the Democrats and the deep state for a long, long time. And I just want to illustrate the reality and the statistics and the facts and the course of action I think we need to defuse this situation of divide and conquer. And then we're also going to have Michael Yon joining us to give his geopolitical analysis, because he's been way ahead of the curve on the military operations, what his predictions are for Iran, for Cuba, China, and what's currently happening in Ukraine. It's all coming up. But remember, if you're watching us right now at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live, that's the new headquarters. We're 700,000 followers there just in 3 weeks. That's the new official channel. We don't post the other ones before. Those were InfoWars channels. This is the new Alex Jones Network channel, The Alex Jones Show Live. Be sure to share that, bookmark that. Thank you. This is an InfoWar. And X, Real Alex Jones on X, and AJN Live, at AJN Live for the network. Be sure to follow at AJN Live. And, of course, the mothership, alexjoneslive.com, right here, alexjoneslive.com. The Rumble feeds, the X feeds, our own audio in-house, and we have backup video feeds that are ours. They're not turned on because those other ones work great. It's all there. Everything you had at InfoWars and more is at alexjoneslive.com. That is the coordinates to share on your email list, your text message list, and tell those you share it to share it, tell them to share it, and those they share it with to share it. That creates a chain reaction or domino effect that is so powerful. Hey, the forbidden information's on air right now. Here it is. And if you're busy, like a lot of people don't have time to watch the whole live show or parts of it, we cut up after the live show all the key cutlets and pieces condensed down for you to share, because this is an information war. A war on for the mind. So all this and more coming up. We'll be right back.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now.
It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. We are the resistance. Join us and share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Bigly took 2 years to do this, our great sponsor. I'm not bitching. It's amazing. They got the highest rated. We've published the studies, showed it to you, the big third-party testing firms. The highest quality, gravity-fed filters cuts out all the thousands of different prevalent chemicals like atrazine and glyphosate to non-detectable levels, meaning zero, basically. Can't detect it. That's the highest rating. With the most beautiful stainless steel. 3-gallon system. You can get the stand if you want to. A lot of people don't even need the stand. Looks great in your kitchen, great at your business. But the most important thing is it cuts all these toxins out. This is the number one thing you should do for your family, for people, your coworkers. This is no more bottled water, no more. You dump swamp water in this, pool water, whatever. It cuts everything out. And it funds the operation. Everybody needs one of these. This is a home run. I am so impressed because I've been bitching at Bigly. Like 2 years ago, we started. Go, hey, we need this. Here's the ratings. This is the highest thing. I want stainless steel. You can go out and find the company, the manufacturers, go to them with the highest quality, lowest price. They're selling crap. They don't even have the good filters. This isn't stainless steel. It's plastic. For more than this, get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com. Commit to yourself to get the poisons out of the water. It's one of the biggest moves you can make to take control of your life, and it funds this operation. Order it now at thealexjonesstore.com. Take action. And there's a big sale that's going to end Sunday night at midnight. And that is Ultimate Life Force, the ultimate spike protein cardiovascular booster for everybody. That is 50% off. Bunch of other deals. They're going to end soon at thealexjonesstore.com. Widest selection of Patriot apparel and more. And the live feeds of the show are at thealexjonesstore.com as well.
Nice try, globalist. But Alex Jones is still here. And he's not f***ing leaving.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
I want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny. Globalists are desperate to censor you and to censor broadcasts that have got their number, and this broadcast has their number unlike any other. We are hated by the globalists. More than anybody, I wear that as a red badge of honor. So take the live feed right now at Real Alex Jones on X and share it, and take the feed from rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live and share it. And that has a huge effect. Thank you so much. Okay, so let's look at the UK. They've had attempted beheadings. They've had beheadings just in the last week. Just a bunch of Islamics running around stabbing young women in the face yesterday in London. I mean, it is off the chart crime. And the British government has called for banning basically all knives. And they've got Hollywood people from the UK. It's hilarious. It wasn't so serious, saying, yes, we must take the ends off of all knives. How about we cut everybody's fist off? Cause they might use your fist to beat somebody's brains out. How about we cut everybody's dick off? Cause that'll stop rape. I mean, it's just absolute slaughter of reality. So they have low gun crime in the UK because they don't allow any guns, but they have incredibly high knife crime, way higher muggings, stabbings than even the worst cities like Chicago. That's on record. So remember last year, the young Scottish girl with the hatchet and the butcher knife. And she said the day before they grabbed her sister and drug her away. The next day they're coming after her and a bunch of other stuff. Well, now they had a trial of the people because they were already in trouble for stuff. And they pled guilty and indeed admitted that this foreigner had been doing this. She was just vindicated in court. The migrants, the invaders, were charged with assault. The girls were telling the truth while the media, the police, and the politicians were calling them feral and smearing the family as racist. We just got justice for Lola and Ruby. Male found guilty of making sexual remarks to teenagers in case that drew global focus to Dundee. Trying to drag her away, saying you're having a good time with me. And a bunch of other stuff had happened. This has been going on before. So there's the reality. Our old alumni, Paul Joseph Watson, did a short report on it. Here it is.
Remember the viral video of the girls in Dundee, Scotland? And remember how the police immediately came out and said this?
Police Scotland said it was aware of misinformation, but they found no evidence.
How they reaffirmed and gave credence to the Bulgarian migrants' version of events.
And he says that he was, in fact, just on the way to the shops with his wife when he was confronted with the girl with the weapons.
The trial ended just yesterday, and the Bulgarian man who filmed the clip and his sister were both found guilty. Ilya Belov initiated the confrontation when he walked past the girls and said, quote, hello, sexy, I'll show you a good time. He then called his sister, who arrived shortly after, and physically assaulted one of the girls. It was only after these assaults had taken place that the girl pulled the weapons out. Belov's entire story that he was only reacting to the girls taunting him for being a migrant was also shot down in court. It turns out they were all completely wrong. All-encompassing karma.
The same story over and over again. To get the full story, this has been happening for weeks with this guy and other people when they would try to walk out their house down the road by the park. And if you look at Europe, you look at Australia, you look at anywhere they brought in these third world populations, upwards of 90% of the rapes, the burglaries, the crimes are committed by these people. And whether it's here or in Europe, they know they get put on welfare. They're almost all military-age men. They don't get jobs, they get into gangs, and this is what they do. They sex traffic. Now, here's a short report from Newsmax. They did a great job. And more, this is what I've been looking for. I see this on British TV, I see it on US TV, I see it on, even on Fox. They're saying, wow, replacement migration and all this other stuff that's going on, this is on purpose. Yeah, the governments aren't dumb. You don't think they don't know bringing in, you know, 90% military age men that commit almost 90% of the crime isn't on purpose undermining society? It's Cloward and Piven. And then you bring in a police state to answer the crisis it creates and then police and oppress the very people that are under attack. That's how this works. And so some Sikh stabs you five times. That's okay. Calls you racist. They put you in handcuffs and you die. And it came out in court, the police were planning to frame the guy he killed as a racist, but that wouldn't fly, so they had to back off. But this is what they're doing. So here is this report on the 46 million Muslims alone, not all the other third world populations that have come into Europe the last 25 years. Here it is.
50 million Muslims now live in Europe. At the turn of the century, that number was less than 500,000, and more are arriving every day. As the people who lead these countries try to do what Joe Biden tried to do here, and that is fundamentally change the racial and ethnic makeup of a nation and make white Christians a minority in their own country. In England alone, right now, 10 major cities, including London, now have Muslim mayors. In a nation that was built around the Church of England, Muslims are now running major cities across the country for the first time in history, and the English want us to believe that this is all normal.
The Muslim will come out and he will stand for truth and he will stand for justice. May Allah give us the ability to stand for the Haq.
So this is not the Middle East. It's not East Minneapolis even. That is England. And when you see images like that, you can't help but ask why anyone, a prime minister or a president or a king, would deliberately try to destroy their own country. Why would you do that? Why is this being done? And because European leaders still celebrate our failed experiment in open borders, it failed here in the United States, and because they've chosen to stand with radical Muslims over their own people, it's because of all of these reasons these countries are falling apart and failing as the attack on Western civilization continues. In November 2015, 130 people were killed in Paris, France, when ISIS terrorists carried out multiple attacks in one day targeting crowded restaurants, cafes, and large crowds. The French did nothing to close their borders. In March 2016, 32 people were killed at an airport in Belgium after an ISIS terrorist attack. They did nothing to secure their borders. In July 2016, 86 people were killed when ISIS terrorists ran down a Bastille Day crowd again in France, and they did nothing to close the border. The border stayed open after the 2017 London Bridge attack and the 2017 Manchester suicide bombing and the 2024 Christmas market attack in Germany. None of this was enough to stop or even slow the flow of radical Muslims into Western Europe. According to the European Union terrorism report, Europe had 58 terrorist attacks in 2024 alone, and no elected official in Europe has done anything to address this problem. Think about that. 58 terrorist attacks, almost exclusively by radical Islamic terrorists.
And I'll kind of read a breakdown that a fellow I follow on X did, how this is all on purpose, in a moment. But the globalists admit it's all on purpose. Now, here's Idris Elba, popular actor. I mean, I like him in the movies he's in, but he says the most heinous leftist garbage constantly. He's come out in response to this and said, ban all knives, just ban everything. And he says even take away the ceremonial knives that 13 different ethnic minorities, as long as they're not white, are allowed to have. I got a better idea. Let people have swords, let them have guns like Texas, and watch what happens to your crime rate. Because the police only selectively enforce on the white people. Let everybody have weapons, okay? That's the next best thing to deporting all these people. But imagine the idea, as if you couldn't make a knife. I mean, it's so easy to make a knife. It's so easy to make a shank. It's so easy to make a stiletto. It's so easy to, you can use a hammer to kill somebody. You can use a car to run over people. Again, do we cut all men's genitals off because some men rape? What he's saying here is the same logic as all men should be castrated at birth because potentially, 2% of them might rape a woman. So now everybody's guilty, collective punishment. That's what this guy's talking about. Here he is.
The truth is that kitchen knives are perhaps 25% of the knives used in most of the terrible crimes. That's one of the stats in the films. And those kitchen knives are usually a domestic situation, okay? So kitchen knives, of course, it's very difficult. They're a domestic knife. I do think there is areas of innovation that we can do with kitchen knives. I hate to say it. Not all kitchen knives need to have a point on them. That sounds like a crazy thing to say, but actually it would reduce. You can still cut your food without the point on the knife, which is an innovative way to sort of look at it. And in a country in crisis, I'm sorry, but yeah, let's look at that. But the truth is all knives... the loophole on the heritage knives allows the sale of ninja swords to be sold. So while, you've got your granddad's sword on there and you want that, that's fine, of course, but it is leaving a loophole for someone to carry a ninja sword. So let's ban them all. And if you have one of those knives, get a license for it. Simple as that. And I think it's a small contribution to society if you say, right, I'm going to back that. I'll get a license for my granddad's sword because it is leaving, these kids vulnerable.
Yeah, you're bringing all these third world populations, they're stabbing and murdering everybody, and then let's ban anybody having knives. They've already heavily restricted them, and then, of course, the problem just gets worse. So, because somebody might pull a trigger of a gun, everybody should have their index finger cut off at birth. Or, even better, we just need to get rid of people's hands altogether. Now, this clip is quite interesting. All across the European Union, different governments have this type of ridiculous garbage. This is in Finland, a public service announcement. This is literally put on national TV there. They have similar things in Germany explaining They have these ads, too, in Canada in English and in French. Don't rape. Don't grab my genitals. And then they air this on TV so the Islamic invaders and others don't know to grope women. Here it is. That's not a joke. My no-no square. Reminds me of the people dancing during COVID while they were killing everybody. My no-no square. Beep, 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 bum, 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 beep, beep. And they do all this to make it leftist and funny so you see it as non-threatening. These are very totalitarian people. If Hitler were wearing a pink sweater, he'd taken over the world like Bill Gates. All right, let's now go to Charlie Kirk, who accurately didn't predict this. It was already going on. But now it's only getting worse. And we got all these Muslim leaders pointing out if they've gone from 500,000 Muslims to 43 million Muslims in Europe since 2001, we supposedly were fighting them over there, not bring them here, but we brought them here. I keep saying it's a 45-time increase. I think that's the number they always put out, but actually if it's 43 million versus 500,000, that's a little under double what they're saying. That's more, because if there was a million Muslims, it was a half million in 2001, and now there's 43 million, then that's not a 40-plus percent increase. That's like almost a 90% increase. Wow. So there's 500,000 Muslims in 2001 in Europe. And now, 25 years later, there's 43 million. Yeah, that's like 80-plus times. And there's similar numbers here. And it only gets worse. Here's Charlie Kirk.
The United Kingdom will be a Muslim-majority country in the next 20 years.
1,000%.
London already is.
While Christians are aborting their babies, killing their babies, making their kids gay and homosexual, and then getting the rest of the young people who happen to escape abortion, they trans themselves and cut and butcher their body parts, Islam is spreading like a virus. Have you been to London's town recently?
And now, the most common baby name in London is
Muhammad.
What? Most
Muhammad.
Common baby name in Dublin is what?
Muhammad.
The most common baby name in Copenhagen is?
Muhammad.
It is a religion of conquest, and it is not a conspiracy theory. It is a stated doctrine of the Hadith.
Literally.
To take over new lands.
We need to stop this lie that Islam that took over Egypt, took over Israel, and Israel took the nation back, that took over Assyria, that took over Syria, that took over Algeria, that took over Lebanon, that took over Jordan, that took over Saudi Arabia, that took over Iran, that took over Afghanistan.
And now all of Europe, and Indonesia, and most of Africa. I mean, this
and Malaysia.
It is a religion of conquest.
So, shifting gears now to more of the divide and conquer globalist operation, Black Lives Matter, all of it. You have the Carmelo Anthony verdict 3-4 days ago, and literally hundreds of videos out there without even looking of black men and black women, including at the courthouse outside, saying, we're now going to randomly shoot, kill, beat up, and attack white people. And now I've seen countless videos of just black people randomly beating up white people in other states than Texas, as if randomly beating up a white in Texas gives it any more validity. And saying, you know, are you on the jury? And then they just punch some old white guy in the face or punch a white woman in the face. And then you statistically have 20-1. That's a low number. It's actually worse. Black on white crime. And it's a small minority of blacks doing it, but it's a large group of hyper racist, crazy black people with the leftist corporate media promoting it. You would think that Carmelo Anthony is the person 6 feet under and not the young man he killed. And by the way, it was his black teammates, the young man that was killed, that were the key witnesses that know. He just wouldn't, kept screaming, yelling, threatening, and a guy just pushed him on the arm, so he stabs him right in the heart. And they're calling that self-defense. So this is the craziness. But here's just a few examples of the people calling for violence, for killing and beating up whites. This is just a small example. Here's two clips.
Truthfully speaking, we need more young niggas that's under the age of 17 and 16, go fire these folk up. Y'all will be out at 30. y'all get, you know what I mean? Y'all ain't gonna get nothing. Y'all ain't gonna do life. Y'all be out at 30. Power to the people, man. It's time to.
I'm so proud of y'all for killing that white boy. See, they not used to this shit happening to them, y'all. My only problem is it should happen more. This is where I'm f***ing up. This is where I got a problem with my people. It should happen more. We should make a day like every Thursday or every Wednesday where we just wake up and f*** up a white girl or a white boy. This pick, a little girl smacked the shit out of her, little boy smacked it out of him, old lady, white, whatever. We should set up a day once a week where we just f*** them up, y'all, until they go back to the mountains. Yeah, last set of day where we just f*** them up. Oh, just cuz. We wake up, we yawn, we brush our teeth, we wash our face, and we go outside, and we just f*** them up. First, that's how we gotta start getting our day started. Can we please pick a day where we just f*** them while you grow up? Just beat their ass. Especially the old ones. Just beat their ass, the kids. Just beat their ass. Everybody, get in the comments. Let's set up a day where we just, where it's national white people every day. Seriously, we just beat them up. Just walk up to them and beat them. We're about to change whether they know it or not. They talking all this shit online, this racist shit. But the reality, they gonna have to get out here with us in a minute. And boy, I can't wait the day we beat the fuck out these crackers. They don't stand a chance. I just can't wait to take these hands. Oh, it's about to be soon. Good job, y'all. Let's set a day we do that to their kids more. I hope their kids rotten in hell. As a matter of fact, I wish I knew where the little white boy grave was so I can go spit on that bitch. Dig him up, smack him up again, stab him up again, put his ass back in there. That's set a day where we just beat their ass, y'all. Let's get him.
Well, I think you already have that 7 days a week around the world. And the Muslims are attacking and robbing and raping in Japan when they brought them in. I guess they deserve it, too. But everybody wants to get into Western countries because they're so evil and racist and then bitch and complain about it all day. But viral everywhere, people, you know, with AI versions of them peeing on white people, they've murdered graves, all of this. And I'll tell you what it is. I don't watch a lot of corporate media, but I still tune into it or go through the channels. And I might try to watch TV a couple days a week. You know, I'll try to find an old movie or do something. Every day that I do that, I remember about 6 months ago, I played the clip and went and dug it up. I got home about 8 o'clock at night. I'm going to eat dinner in front of the TV. My 9-year-old daughter was over there playing with toys. And I turn on the baseball game. And they go to break, and it shows a high school, and there's a kid walking, a white kid, and people stick a sticker on his back saying, "Get out of here, Jew." And then a big, tall black kid comes over and goes, "I know about the evil white people. We're together. We got to fight the evil whites." And they high five. There are people sticking Jew stickers on people's backs, folks. The average white person didn't run. But it's every TV show, every movie. It's in all the shows. Machete kills. All of it's funded to create all these constant images of blacks being discriminated against and blacks being murdered and blacks being lynched and all this so that low IQ black people, I'm not saying black people in general, but low IQ black people literally believe they're being hunted, literally believe they're the victims, and literally believe the average white person is in some grand conspiracy, like one battle after another, another example, to oppress them. And so I'm going to play this clip and come back with Michael Yon. After he leaves, I got a bunch more examples of this. But, I mean, just this week, woman's taking a woman for cancer therapy. Black guy just shoots her for her purse. Black on white, black on white, black on white, black on white. And it's just done over and over and over again. And we're just supposed to sit there and just accept this because we're evil and we're white. White people are done, folks. But I ran across this morning. It was just in my X feed. And it's a black guy comes into a bank. And they say, "Oh, you don't have money. You're black. We're not going to give you service." Folks, you know how many black people got a bunch of money in businesses? I'm in business. I go to banks. I'm around all this. I don't see some black person walk in and say, "Oh, you're black. You're depositing $5,000. I don't believe it." Now, obviously, you go to any bank now, they don't know you. They've done it to me. They put you in a check and all that because they have all the know your customer surveillance stuff. But the point is, here's this white woman who's being racist to him. And then you learn, you know, later that she's a total fool and gets fired. But because they don't have this really going on any real scale, they have to create the perception of it. And I know you see this everywhere, where it is embedded in the movies, the TV shows, the children's cartoons. They teach in public school all over the world that being white's inherently bad. Little white kids come home and cry that they're white. You've seen all that. This is crazy, folks. And it also tells the lie that only white people have money. You know, statistically, Asians have the top 9 slots based on race, the most money. Okay? And then in the demographic of whites, they call, you know, Jews white, so it's Jews on average. And then the average working class rednecks down there with Hispanics and blacks. I mean, on average, white people, they're a bunch of rich white billionaires. But other than that, folks, and half of them are Jewish, I mean, white people aren't running around like Daddy Warbucks with money trees in their backyard. And you see all these colleges, oh, we're not going to give you a scholarship, you're white, man. Or in Europe, oh, you can't apply for a government job, you're white. And agencies here doing this. Whites are being discriminated against. 70% of the college graduates are women now. Men don't even, can't even, hardly even get into it. But college is such a scam, in a way it's a favor for them. But you go to these construction sites, it's black, Hispanic, white, all working their ass off. It's a lie to divide and conquer. So here's this brainwashing that's just indicative snapshot of how this works. I can't watch a baseball game. I can't go to a movie. I can't turn on a TV show without seeing this crap. And then people watch this and they believe that white people are out hunting black people when it's the other way around statistically. Here's the clip. We'll go to Michael Young.
Good afternoon. I'd like to make a deposit.
Oh, this is for business clientele. The regular line is out there.
I'm in the right spot. I just left the gym. Anyways, I need to make a deposit. Here
you go. Oh, where on earth did you get this much cash?
From my business.
Look, before we go any further, I need to see some ID. Is this really you?
Yes, it's really me.
I need to see another form of ID.
What for? This is the first time I've ever been asked that.
Well, according to bank rules, I have the right to ask if I suspect any suspicious activity.
Suspicious activity? You know what? Never mind. This is my college ID. That should work.
Stanford? You really expect me to believe that you went to Stanford? This is a fake ID. Now, I need to see a passport or something more official.
Why would I carry a passport to the bank?
Oh, you want to be a smart guy. Mary, can you come in here, please? Does this look real to you? Yeah, that's definitely real. Okay, thanks. I need to count this.
Okay. Oh, I'd like to deposit this, too.
$20,000. Seriously, what are you doing with this kind of money?
It's not any of your business.
This is from DM Capital. You really expect me to believe that you work there? This is a fraudulent check, isn't it?
You're more than welcome to call the company and confirm yourself.
God, you probably don't even have a real job. Why don't I call security instead?
You know what? I had enough of this. Just give me my cash and check so I can go.
Security!
Is everything okay?
No, it's not. This man gave me a fake ID, lied about his job, and now he's trying to deposit a fraudulent check.
More like she's stereotyping me while I'm just trying to make a simple transaction.
Oh, you people are so typical. Always using race as your get-out-of-jail-free card. I know a crook when I see one.
You know, everything that you just said could not be further from the truth. You see, you said I didn't go to college, but the truth is, not only did I go to one of the most prestigious schools in the country, I also graduated at the top of my class. I even started my own little company after graduation. And over time, that little company turned into a really big company. And now it's one of the most successful financial institutions in our city today. So you see, never judge a book by its cover, because I'm not only an employee for DM Capital, I'm the CEO.
You expect for us to believe that? Get him out of here. You can tell he's a liar.
What if he's telling the truth? Maybe you should call the number of the company just to be sure.
Okay, fine. Hi, yeah, this is Karen from World City Bank. I have someone here who's trying to cash a fraudulent check. Can you transfer me to the owner, please? Thanks.
You see? You're calling me.
I don't understand.
Mr. Moore. John, good to see you.
Sir, you know this guy?
Yes, this is Daniel. Daniel Moore, owner of DM Capital. Our biggest clients.
This guy is our biggest client.
Yes. Is everything all right here?
No, John. Everything is not okay. You see, Karen here just stereotyped me because of the way that I looked.
You what?
I mean, can you blame me? Just look at him.
You should know better than to ever judge a book by its cover. Mr. Moore, I am so sorry. I assure you this will never happen again. Because Karen here is fired.
What? Fired? No, you can't do that.
I just did. Will you make sure she gets all of her things? And Mr. Moore, I would love to assist you in my private office. Please follow me.
Thank you.
So all this fantasy stuff is put out everywhere, and people really believe this is going on. Now, to make it believable, too, it's a Karen. Now, it's actually white women that are the biggest supporters of Black Lives Matter and the left. But then we all know they're annoying, so then to make it more believable, it's a Karen. She's even called Karen. So here are the white women that are the biggest supporters of all this being scapegoated on top of it. But did you pick up the rest of it? Did you pick up the rest of it? When you pull back from all of this, remember what happened to the SPLC. Now they've expanded the indictments. $1 billion offshore, tens of millions to run the KKK, all the white supremacist groups, ADLs involved. Chief of indicted SPLC faces House grilling. They run these groups. And that was a bunch of liberal actors. And that piece you saw, and you see it everywhere, pumping out that the white people are evil for divide and conquer. And then a small minority of black people, a minority of blacks, they go out and commit the majority of attacks on whites. Whites attacking blacks statistically almost doesn't exist. It doesn't matter because there's all the movies and TV shows showing whites doing it. This is the sick racism. This is creating the racial division. This is the information war. This is the PSYOP. This is brought to you by the same people. In fact, I bet you look at who produced this, some NGO connected to the SPLC is involved. That's your enemy, folks, that want us at each other's throats. And that's why you're getting stuff like this. All right, Michael Young, I apologize for getting you on late. I ended up getting here on time, but I had so much information that I made the crew wait while I was getting it all collated. So I apologize for getting you on late, but thank you for being gracious enough to join us here. You're always a global traveler. I'm not even sure where you're at right now, in Japan, Latin America, who knows? You can tell us. And you also live part of the time out in Ripping Springs outside Austin, Texas. Former A-Team Green Beret, the most famous photo combat journalist of modern time, and also a geopolitical expert who has predicted so much of what has now unfolded in this Iran war, and now what's happening in the Strait of Malacca there in the area of China and Singapore. And I know that's your bailiwick, and I want to get some time into that, but I wanted to hit first with you just a few other big topics. I know you questioned Butler, Pennsylvania, and said there was clearly the official story wasn't true. Now we've confirmed that Trump killed the Epstein investigation, the Butler investigation, and others. Mongino, who is a complete liar, because I know he's told lies about me. They're just whole cloth manufactured. Now attacking Tucker for daring to say there was a cover-up by the FBI of what happened at Butler, even though the evidence is overwhelming. And Candace Owens, myself, and others are speculating, why do you think Trump's covering up Butler? Because it was synthetic, which is the best acting job I ever saw, but was, or because that was his message from the deep state and he finally rolled over to them? I know you don't like to speculate, but I want your opinion and your view on that. And then with the knowledge that's now come out with the Defense Department and Defense Intelligence Agency saying the number one threat to the U.S. is Israeli intelligence trying to basically overthrow the government, with the Defense Authorization Act literally saying they synchronize, fuse, integrate, live time, all of our military weapons and surveillance, intelligence, bioweapons. I think it's Tulsi Gabbard will do that after he leaves with her report on that. That comes out. They're in the NDAA and a bunch of the legislation about the moment America is in right now, because you predicted a couple of years ago that Israel would start this war and at the end it would get Israel destroyed, which is a larger globalist pawn sacrifice. But then I worry about America. What do you see for America's future looking into the future? You've made so many accurate predictions. Michael Young, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Alex. It's interesting what you were just talking about with the professional victims. I was just discussing that today with a friend of mine, Al Johnson, actually, who we both have studied this together quite a lot across Asia, traveling across, studying these professional victimhood narratives that, for instance, I spent a lot of time in China going to museums and looking at the professional victimhood that the Chinese Communist Party imbues into their own people in order so that they can eventually come and attack Japan. And like, I've written three books on it. For instance, this is a book I wrote about information war, professional victimhood stuff, the sort of stuff that you were just talking about, right? I've written three of these books. They're only in Japanese, unfortunately. But these books are about the professional, anytime you meet a professional victim, you know you have a predator on your hands. And they're often synthetic. They're often created, or they're created on a basis of truth. But in reality, the bulk of it's just complete nonsense.
I learned that with Sandy Hook. I barely ever covered it. Wasn't my thing. The internet didn't think it happened. Had a few guests on. Then Hillary loses. Then they attack me. They raise $300 million off my name saying I'm victimizing them for Bloomberg's gun control group. Then they sue me, rig that, and play victim and say I'm peeing on graves, attacking them. None of it's true, but it doesn't matter. They're just victim, 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 giant cash machine.
Oh, professional victims are always predators. I've never seen an exception to that, whether that be on an individual level or a cultural level. And professional victimhood is something that's often created so that it can be weaponized. For instance, I went to museums in different all over the world studying this. And for instance, in Nanjing, China, I went to Nanjing to study information war that the Chinese are building up against Japan and the United States, by the way, but especially against Japan. They're creating a great deal of hatred against the Japanese so they can attack the Japanese. As you know, when you want to know which direction somebody's going to attack next, look at their information war. They always radiate. I've never seen a war that doesn't radiate in advance, and often they radiate quite brightly. For instance, when you go to the museum.
Well, of course, I mean, they prepare the ground. So Israel has the Holocaust museums to come and make everybody guilty to do what they say, and China just hypes up Japan and the war and some of the things that happened there, and then basically projects it into we need to be able to blow up Japan.
Right. In fact, they call it the Holocaust of Asia. They go after, of course, everybody likes to graft onto Holocaust, which in and of itself is coming under credible attack, whether that, how true that actually is. Now, you go into that and people obviously have embolisms and that sort of thing, but so be it. I mean, the fact is a lot of what we live with is just a synthetic IMAX movie of lies. You know, it's like the They Live movie. But, you know, when you go to Nanjing, I went to that museum in Nanjing, China, and looked at, you know, you've probably heard about the book, The Rape of Nanjing by Iris Chung. She shot herself. Actually, I have her autopsy, actually. I've looked into this quite in depth. And so when you go to Nanjing and you look at what actually happened in Nanjing, China during that the actual fighting in China. Anyway, not to go into those details. The bottom line is everything is weaponized. Everything is, and I'll tell you another thing, is highly weaponized. Maps, of course. You know, oftentimes I've got into quite a few discussions about Taiwan, or let's say Formosa, and everybody knows, quote unquote, that Taiwan was part of China. But in fact, China was part, you know, Taiwan, or let's say Formosa, was part of China for exactly 0 days and 0 minutes and 0 seconds. Now, when you say that, people immediately go, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never, I've got a PhD in, I bet, Alex, I was on an interview recently, let's say 3 or 4 months, say 4 months ago now, with three people, all very well-educated guys. They never ran the interview, and they brought up Taiwan, and I said, actually, it was never part of China. Anyway, before it was over, they start throwing their credentials like, you silly boy, and I'm like, okay, let's skip past all your big credentials. Let's get down to show me the money, right? I'll bet you $10,000 you can't prove that Formosa or Taiwan was ever part of China. $10,000, I'm betting you right now. Money. I'll put it in your bank account, right? Actually, then I changed it. Let's just change that to 2 ounces of gold. I'll bet you 2 ounces of gold you can't prove it, right? They couldn't prove it because it never happened. Period. No matter how much people think it happened, Taiwan was never part of China, period, full stop, right? And you'll never be able to prove it. And if it was part of China, there would be so much evidence, you couldn't see over the top of it. You wouldn't need 2 weeks to figure it out. And sending me, by the way, a Perplexity link, as one man did, a very, very serious man, by the way, sends me a Perplexity link, like, here's the evidence, Perplexity. I'm like, are you, how, I can't imagine that you just sent me a Perplexity link, and you look at the, you look at the actual citations in Perplexity, Wikipedia. If you send me a Wikipedia link, that's an automatic loss of all argument. You know, I was in Hong Kong with an actual Wikipedia editor in his house, right? Right there. He's got the keyboard right there. He's got the screen right there, and he's actually editing Wikipedia. Logs in, username, password. I'm like, so here you go. You're actually a Wikipedia editor. You're like one of the anointed ones. He's like, oh yeah, here's how it goes, blah, blah. He's showing, he's editing pages right in front of me, right? Multiple times on different days. And so in other words, I'm like, so in other words, I can go ahead and write an article right here.
And let me be clear about what they do.
You can sign
let me
it.
Be clear about what they do. They will put a fake mainstream news article out, and then Wikipedia cites that as true. So I noticed, because they're getting ready to try to put a movie out about me. They admitted this. I got it from the insiders at Netflix. They want to put it in theaters first. So John Ronson's been going around for years on NPR doing fake origin stories where none of it's true, then getting it published in other places so they can point at that to get Hollywood to green light it and say it's sourced, and it's literally completely made up. And
that's exactly. I mean, I was sitting there with him, and I said, you know, in other words, I could write an article right now, and so, or you could write it yourself on this keyboard, and then cite it on Wikipedia, which everybody will start to cite and send to people.
As long as you're seen as an authoritative source, like the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, CNN, the New York Times, that's the key.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was with that guy a lot. I mean, we talked about that many, many times on different days. I've watched him edit. You know, it's, you can't make up this stuff. And yet people will use Wikipedia. Map warfare is quite serious. You know, I've got maps from the 1800s in Africa, by the way. There's two mountain ranges on these maps. I mean, many, many maps for, let's say, 50, 60, 70 years. There's two mountain ranges on those maps. Those mountain ranges never even existed. Neither one of them. Kong Mountains and the Moon Mountains, right? The Mountains of Moon. They did not exist. You look at these old maps, and they've got these long mountain ranges that did not even exist. Beyond those mountains in Africa, map warfare is quite real. Museum warfare is quite real. And, information war, those are all subsets of information war. But victimization, that's one of the primary weapons that you can actually weaponize and get yourself a genocide whipped up.
Well, let's go back to Alexander the Great. Let's go back to Alexander the Great, who was able to conquer most of the known world until he got poisoned. He would have his troops go out and, like, leave and construct a fake, you know, giant sword or club, and then basically put his name on it in the local language. So 6 months before he gets there, they think Alexander the Great has 200-foot giants with him. They would just pull all sorts of psyops on people.
They were good. They were serious people. You know, people that the most serious warriors out there, they spend their time doing information war. I mean, information war, the vast majority of warfare happens in the information space. I mean, again, the title of your show, InfoWars, is just simply brilliant because it's one of those little simple, you know, bullseye. Exactly. And we're, Alex, as you know, the number one resource on planet Earth is not oil. It's certainly not gold or any of that. It's human resources. Human resources are the number one resource on planet Earth. That's why you have human resources on the wall in these companies hiring and firing. And when you look at all the infrastructure that we have us, the physical infrastructure, the railroads and the canals and all that, that pales in comparison to all the infrastructure on just controlling people. The many, many ways that people are controlled, there's so many that I don't, despite having studied this for years, I have no idea how many ways that we're controlled. It's a lot, right? And I know you're very aware of this, and I'll bet you even you find new ways of control that you've never heard of, despite that you're clearly, deeply, your expertise on this is
quite
deep.
No. I know that I know nothing, to quote Aristotle, or was it Socrates? In fact, here's an example. This is Yaakov M. Rabkin. I don't just believe him. I know all this. It's in the real history books. It came out about World War II. It's not a demonization of Israel or Zionism in general. It's a conviction of it that the top rabbis, the heads of Zionists said, had a deal with Hitler. No Jews are allowed to leave unless they pay 70% of the money to the Nazis, 30% to the Zionists. Madeleine Albright's dad famously was the big manager of all of that. That's why on 60 Minutes she got sued over all these famous Jews that got robbed and killed of their art by him. They had it on the wall, but then Hitler later at the end of the war double-crossed him. He ran to Serbia, so when she bombed Belgrade, they said, like, we saved you in World War II, thanks a lot. But the point is, it wasn't just in Baghdad, it was in Spain, it was all over the place. The Zionists would bomb and blame it on communists and Muslims and others and Nazis, and to get ancient Jewish cultures, Sephardic Jews out of Spain, Jews out of Iraq, to move to Israel early on in the 50s. And this is all declassified in public. And you had George Soros low level, 14, 15, 16, helping round up Jews because he was Jewish, in Eastern Europe. Mm. This is a business. And then that's why Simon Wiesenthal would always go bust some jail guard that wasn't even really a Nazi and it turned out to be the innocent guy. They didn't go after Klaus Barbie. They didn't go after the angel of death, Joseph Mengele. They all lived long lives in Argentina and in Brazil. They all work for the CIA. They all got rat-lined out and paperclipped and protected. And of course, Israel, famously hired the top SS colonel, commando, to set up the Mossad and set up their assassination teams across Europe. And so it just goes on and on and on that you had Zionists working with Hitler who wanted to either send them to Russia or send them to the Middle East, and they had this whole deal. And then literally you find out that the ADLs of the Poverty Law Center run the Nazis today. It's just beyond sick. Here's the clip of a professor, emeritus, history of University of Montreal, author and public intellectual, speaking about, and everything he says is true here. In fact, it's worse than he's saying, but is this anti-Semitic to say Israel had secret deals with the Nazis? No, that's the reality. Both my grandfathers almost died in World War II in Army Air Corps. I almost don't exist because of this. But I get called a Nazi when I don't like the Nazis. I actually know the real history of it. Let's go to this clip. Here's the clip that Michael Young will be able to comment on it. Go ahead, guys. Play the clip.
They were dressed like Muslims, taken to another town in Morocco where no one knew them, and they would harass Jewish girls. In order to frighten their parents, the worst things that can happen is that a girl would be molested. And that really moved quite a few people out of Morocco to Israel or somewhere else. And many years later, after I heard the story, I met a Moroccan Jewish woman who actually confirmed that she was on the receiving end of it in her town. For example, in the case of Iraq, Israeli government negotiated a deal with the Iraqi government that would allow Jews to leave. But Jews were in no rush to leave. See, this is very important, because Jews had lived there for centuries, and like Abishlaim, Sojal, they were settled, they spoke Arabic, they were Arabs for all practical purposes, but a different confession. So Zionist activists had to do something to prod them to leave. And here we come to a very sad episode, well, sad page of the history of Zionism, when Zionist activists actually committed acts of violence against Jews and against Jewish institutions in order to prod them to leave. You know, there was explosion in Jewish institutions in Iraq. There were similar events in Egypt, in Morocco. So, and that's very, again, it's understandable, but because for the Zionist movement, for Ben-Gurion, for those who created the state, the most important thing was the raison d'etat, Staatsraison. And that's how they behaved during the Nazi genocide. Famously or infamously, Ben-Gurion is quoted as a saying that he would rather save half of the children, Jewish children that could be sent to Palestine, rather than all of them if they are sent somewhere else. So for them, Jews were a human material, and human material, European human material, was exhausted because of the genocide, and that's why they had to resort to human material from Arab countries, from Iran, and so on. So for them, Jews are a means to create a state, to strengthen the state. The state is a lot more important than individual.
That's exactly what Michael Young's been saying, human resources. And so the Rothschilds, the globalists, are setting up Israel to be destroyed, to play the ultimate victimhood, and then bring in the total world government censorship control grid. That's exactly what you've been saying, Michael Young.
Exactly. I mean, I think the Israelis are in deep trouble. From the Zionists will kill them and use them just as a sacrificial goat, right? And I mean, what you were just talking about, this is quite fascinating.
Tell us about that book. I haven't read it, but I've heard about it. 51 Documents, Zionist Collaboration with the Nazis. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just more evidence, you know, of the things that you've been talking about, which are obviously true. Nobody hides it. In fact, the rabbi, I watched that interview about a month ago, I would say, whenever it came out. And he talks about this sort of stuff. I mean, he's right on target. And, you know, speaking of professional victimhood, I mean, look at this guy. This guy is one of the main Zionists that was, you know, basically go genocide the Arabs. I mean, he was all about that stuff, right? And you know who this guy is, of course. This is Benjamin Netanyahu's father, Benzion Netanyahu. And so there he is. The B there is for the actual the father, Benzion, not Benjamin. So of course his father was a Russian, a Jewish rabbi in Russia. And then so that's the grandfather. And then this is the father. And then comes Benjamin, who's the prime minister of Israel now. Their names were Malyakovsky, right? They changed their names to Netanyahu in the 1920s, right? And so that guy down in Argentina, he's also Malyakovsky, Mele, that's Malyakovsky. As you know, that's where the Zionists and the many Jews, and many of whom were Zionists, and Nazis all went together down there after World War II. And that's why Buenos Aires now is one of the biggest Jewish cities on earth, actually. And they're going for Argentina now. Argentina is very, very valuable. And it's been a rich country for a long time. There used to be a saying, as rich as an Argentinian, right? Argentina is named after silver. I mean, it's actually named. You should see some of their old trains. You look at the old maps and the old pictures of their train system. It was amazing. And when you go just around Buenos Aires, the place, you can tell it was a place of splendor in years gone by, but you know, it's been ravaged, as places are. I think you're going to end up seeing Argentina will be in a war as well, probably eventually with Brazil, and it'll be related to this. Also, they'll go for Malvinas, which is Falklands. I think these things will happen, but we could talk about that for hours. But Masako and I, we went down to Argentina and spent quite a bit of time about a year and a half ago, And we got on a train that the Chinese are, they've already got it open, and they're building the Biooceanic Corridor there between Brazil, and it goes through Paraguay and through the northern part of Argentina over to Chile.
And by the way, anyway, I heard you like 3-4 years ago saying Israel's obsessed with Argentina, and I thought, okay, yeah. But I mean, they make all the IDF graduates and Mossad graduates go spend 3 to 6 months there. They chronicle lands. And then last year and this year, they caught a bunch of them setting fires at national parks in the act. And then now they are admitting a strategic alliance with Israel. And then Israel's trying to build it as an emergency redoubt to escape to. And Israel's blown up as well as Ukraine. And they're bragging that's the plan.
Yeah, they're also going for parts of Greece. I think you'll end up seeing the Corinth Canal at one point under. I got this old financial instrument for the, you know, the Corinth Canal opened in 1893, right? Is that when that opened? This is this is where they were raising money to make that canal. I think eventually this is from 1887. I think eventually you're going to end up seeing they're going to go for the Corinth Canal. You see what's happening with the Trump clan taking
that. I was
that
going there next.
There.
You have the Flamingo Rebellion, millions protesting in Albania. They're not just getting that old Russian nuke base with thousands of bunkers and underground base and tunnels given to them by the prime minister. We know that because Ivanka Trump bragged about it. Now they say it's not true, but they've already put up fences on the national seashore, their only main national seashore, the biggest place flamingos go other than Africa, because they fly north and south. It's like, you know, geese from Canada to Mexico. And they're just put up fences and beat up anybody who tries to come in, even though no law was passed. Now they're just giving that to the Kushners with Saudi Arabian funding. What the hell's going on there?
Well, if you know, always look at the maps, look at the maps, you know, and that's why I got this, you know, some time ago.
Because there's a key strait right there, isn't there?
Right. It's Strait of Otranto, right, between the Ionian and the Aegean Sea, right? Now, if you look at a route as you come through there, some of that traffic goes through this canal. That's why I'm talking about this canal. It's not random that I'm bringing it up, the Corinth Canal, right, in Greece. I think you'll end up seeing dramas over the Corinth Canal, just like, you know, it's like, you know, mentioning screw worms years in advance. Just remember Corinth Canal. I think you're going to see that in the news at some point. But now they're also making escape hatches over to Thailand and other places too. But let's talk about Thailand. This is very important. In Thailand, they're taking, over, you know, substantial parts of Koh Tao, Koh Samui and, Koh Phangan, which I spent months in those places, actually. And in those, they're not really strategic at the moment, but they will be in the future for reasons I could explain, but we can't do it in 2 minutes. But they're also taking a place up in that's the Corinth Canal right there. But a lot of the, that's not Thailand that you're looking at there. That's the Corinth Canal. But you look at Thailand, a lot of Israelis are moving up to Pai. Pai is a place where the Japanese occupied during World War II because it's strategic. And I've been to Pai quite a lot, and so that's the island that you're talking about at the Albanian.
That's the national seashore where they put up fences over like 50 miles and beat everybody up to try to go on it. And they didn't officially sell it. All they know, and then the prime minister says none of it's happening, and people are pissed. I love the gaslighting. Right. Oh, none of it's happening. You have Ivanka saying, oh, we're taking over the coastline, the island, it's all ours. We're building an airport, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah,
and then meanwhile, we have the elites building record-level bunkers. All of what are they gearing up for?
Oh, they're just taking as many routes and resources as they can get, and they're using, obviously, human resources to do it. And
they can paramilitary, even with small forces, shit on all the trade routes, that's global domination.
Oh, exactly. And many of the Israelis are moving to Panama, too. So they've taken over, you know, they got a colony in Panama. They've got down there in Argentina, of course. I think eventually they'll go for Guatemala. I have reasons to say that.
And that's why for 3 years you've been saying Israel's going to be sacrificed. You're very strategic, and I believed you then, but now it's confirmed. The average Jew in Israel isn't dialed into this. They better watch out. Why are their elites all moving their money and infrastructure out? Because you're right. They're getting ready for pawn sacrifice.
Right, and then they'll be able to do the ultimate, hey, they're coming to kill us all, and then you can use your nukes or whatever.
How do you see that?
Right?
How do you? What are the different scenarios for them to sacrifice Israel, play victim, and then get away with running the new world government that they've got all their people in place for?
Yeah, I don't know about the details, but you can just see
they're obviously
the general
doing a coup over the Pentagon and our intelligence, so they think the U.S. is going to backstop their larger empire. And Israeli newspapers say they're now the new global power because they control us. They say that.
Oh, yeah. Back when I was doing war correspondent stuff, I saw a lot of things like Paul Wolfowitz would invite me to dinner and that sort of stuff. You know, I mean, I talked with a lot. Back then, I wasn't as dialed in as much as I am now, right? And that's when I started to wake up. Like, why every time I'm with these Israelis and these billionaire class Zionists, why do they always just want to talk about Iran, Iran, Iran? It's always Iran. Let's talk about Iran, right? And so, you know, next thing you know, I'm off in Israel and all this sort of stuff. I got invited over it wasn't a junket. It wasn't that sort of thing. I paid my way and all that. But at the end of the day, I learned a great deal. Actually, when I first went to Israel, I was very pro-Israel because I was raised that way, right? I was raised in the Christian Zionist environment in Florida, right? So up until that point, when I left Israel that time, I switched to neutral. I went from very pro-Israel. I'm probably one of the rare people that goes to Israel, very pro-Israel, and leaves on neutral, right? And then later, I shifted.
Maybe in the past, because they definitely are slick, but I know a bunch of Army Special Operations guys that got involved in the Gaza stuff, and they said, everything you see on the news is worse. They just mow kids down and put them in mass graves. And so I know guys that were rabidly pro-Israel that are now rabidly anti-Israel just the last 2 years.
That would describe me, actually. I wasn't rabidly pro, but I was definitely pro. And I was open about it. And then I went to neutral, and then finally seeing these things, like, I won't have anything to do with those people, right? I mean, that's actual genocide. I think you had a lieutenant colonel on your show. He's a retired Special Forces guy, right? He was a Green Beret. Was he on your show?
I had a lot of those guys. Which one?
But he was over at Gaza. He was over at Gaza.
Oh, he was on. He was on yesterday with Rex, my son, and we also had Joe Kent back on. Yeah, and he saw that. Yeah.
That's right. And, he saw those sorts of things. And I know others who have been over there and reported similar. So, I mean, nobody contradicted. I haven't seen anybody that contradicts what that lieutenant colonel said. They're all saying the same thing, but in different ways from different vantage points that they saw it.
Yeah. He just didn't like watching Israeli snipers shoot 5-year-old kids for no reason. You know, just, doesn't make you sleep very good at night. Not very manly.
No, they're clearly doing genocide. And actually the Thais are starting to have an immune response to it. They're starting to, I mean, the Thais are sophisticated people. They smile a lot and that sort of thing. But deep down inside, they've got a sophisticated way of looking at the world and interacting with the world. And they realize that they're trying to colonize parts of Thailand. But when you look at those three islands, by the way, in the Gulf of Thailand, Koh Tao, Koh Phangan, and Koh Samui, again, they're not really strategic now. But in the future, they can be very important. Because of building the corridor across the Kra Isthmus, which is, I first started talking about that in 2014. Although the idea of building a canal or a corridor across the Kra Isthmus has been around since, 1660s or so, at least. And so it's another one of those long time in coming, but, you know, it's there. And not to mention that the Chinese, if they ever finish the Funan Techo Canal, you know, it's one of those things that goes and fits and starts, you know, from the Mekong River through Cambodia into the Gulf of Thailand. Okay, so what you're pointing to there right now, that's the Kra Isthmus. So that sort of elephant trunk. So for centuries, there's been the idea of building a corridor across there or a canal. Now with the potential closure of Strait of Malacca, which is that dotted path down below, I think it's blue in color, I think on my screen. But the red dots are, now if you go where that red arrow is up in the Gulf of Thailand, just a little bit to the right of that, upper right, like say 2 o'clock of that, is where Koh Tao, Koh Phangan, and Koh Samui are, right? And those will be strategic if you open that, if you open a corridor there. And if you look at where Cambodia is, which you can see there, there's various island disputes. But if China opens that canal eventually opens a canal from the Mekong River called Funan Techo Canal through Cambodia, that route will go right by those islands, right? And there's energy in the Gulf of Thailand, like a lot, right? So you saw the fighting over that temple recently, the Pravea Temple, that has nothing to do with that 1907 French map that people talk about. I've got that map. It has nothing to do with that map. It has to do with that energy in the Gulf of Thailand. It has to do with the Funan Techo Canal and also potential, corridor across the cross.
Absolutely. Those are all important geopolitical things, and I want to get into it all, but the time we have left, big picture, how's the Iran war going? The Iranians think they've got the cards. They think making Trump look like a fool 107 days into this or whatever. Where do you see this going? What do you see with Ukraine and Russia and all that stuff?
Yeah, it's all the same war. I mean, you've talked about this stuff for years. I mean, this is not a war that started 10 years ago. This is a war that started at a minimum centuries ago, at a bare minimum centuries ago, many centuries, right? So what's happening in Iran right now? Trump is going to come and go. It's autumn. Yeah, and he's a golden leaf on a tree. He's going to fall off and he'll be gone and the war will continue, right? Same with Netanyahu. He'll eventually be gone and the war will continue because this is what I call a standing war. There's process wars and then there's standing wars. A standing war is just a war that happened like a standing wave. And that's why I call it standing war.
It's like the 100-year war between the French and the British. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, it's a standing war because when you look at how important Panama is, you look at Suez and those other areas, they're far more important than Panama. And Panama is really, really important. If you could take all the people in the Middle East right now, Israel and all that, take them all out and replace them with all new people, and eventually they're going to be at war. Like, that's just the place where the bears are going to fight over the caves and the river. I mean, this is a huge, hugely valuable resource and route area, right? It's like the navel of the world.
It's
almost
the main crossroads. It's the center of the chessboard.
It is.
It's the center of the chessboard.
And it has been for a long time. Of course, then you got Malacca over there. Malacca is extremely important as well, right? You're holding up your hand, so should I be quiet or?
No, I'm listening to you. They got the Middle East and over here in Malacca.
Oh, right. Oh, you're pointing, right. Sorry, at the map. I couldn't. So these routes and resources, and the key resource, obviously, is human resources. But so those are standing wars. It's just a war that will happen at that place or for various reasons, basically forever. It doesn't matter which bears are there. The bears are going to fight over the river and the caves because there's a lot of fish that come up that river, right? That's what it's the normal stuff. Then there's these process wars. That's a standing war. And then there's process wars. Process wars are, for instance, the war that built the United States. I mean, we're a synthetic country, right? Canada is a synthetic country. Those countries, Israel's a synthetic country. The 1922 synthetic countries of Kuwait, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, all those guys, right? Emirates. I mean, those are synthetic countries that were made in service to taking control of routes and resources. And so they got control of human resources by, the British got behind the top dogs there, the best tribal leaders they could get behind so that they could stabilize places so that the British could do trade, right? And it's not just the British. Many people have done this sort of stuff, and Chinese do it, Russians do it, Israeli. So many people do this. And so, in other words, it's not saying, bad British doing this again.
I know, what I'm asking you is, you're expert at all this, we know that. But years ago, and you'll throw out a huge statement that comes true, I know you're not making predictions, but the general lines of converging with this ongoing 100-plus-year war bubbling into a hot war, bubbling into a convergence point where, 50 years goes by and it's slow, and then in a year, more happens than, in 1 year that happened in 50 years. As we know, as Stalin said, there are decades when nothing happens and weeks when decades happen. You can see it, you can feel it, the fourth turning. What are the main power players? We know them, but restate it. And how do you see the breaks right now? How do you see this unfolding currently? Not a prediction, but a dead reckoning.
Well, as a sort of dead reckoning, let's say, I'm from Florida. It's usually nice and sunny and great weather, and sometimes all the energies come together, and you got this cool hurricane, right? Wars can be similar. The energies, sometimes they gather in the ways that they do these things, which are very difficult to understand, actually. Like, how does a hurricane actually form, and how does it really operate? I don't know. We've got satellites, and all this sorts of thing, and a lot of historic data, but we can't exactly predict which way they're going to go. even to this day. Wars are similar, right? That at sometimes they just gather their energy up. It's a standing war. It's an ongoing war. It's never ended. And it's never been at peace. It's just been relative peace compared to what's going on now or what could happen, you know, in 24 hours. But the war itself is a standing war, and which is a subset of a larger process war. There's process wars that are both imagined using executive function. People plan things out to do things. And then there's other, there's sort of emergent, right? Like the globalism is, like I've got a map here that I may have already put it up. It's the world as it looks to General Motors. It's a 1942 map, I think. And 38. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's a map how the world looks to General Motors, right? And it's quite fascinating because, you know, that's just one company of many. Then, you know, whether it's Starbucks or whatever, these are, you know, companies that want to have, footprints around the world or do trade around the world. All these many, many companies, big and small, and just prospectors going out and trying to find one little piece of gold. All these things add up into these process wars, like that took the land from the Indians, right, in the United States and all over the place. Those are process wars. Wars of process that some of it just emerges. That's why, you know, the United States was filled with company towns. There you go. That's one of the maps. There's another one that's more black and white. And it's from that same era, though, right there. And you can see, though, that these process wars, they unfold over, at a minimum, many centuries. And so what you're seeing in the Middle East region, I mean, it's in the Bible that place will be a scene of Armageddon. I've got a Hitler's map. Here it is right here. Does it happen to have it right? Oh, and there's that, in fact, there's the General Motors map. Anyway, but here's, look at this.
Punch him up so we can show people, please. Let's punch up Mike Leon, please. Oh, there it is. Good, sorry. Go ahead, sir. Show us.
There it is. Can you see it? I mean,
that's hold up a little bit above your head. Center it. Yeah, go ahead. Move it to
you. Okay, I mean, there you go. That's how the world work looks like from Birch's Garden, where Hitler had his eagle's nest, right? That's how the world works. There it is. I mean, when you look at this very closely, which is hard for you to see on the screen, but it's a beautiful map, and it's showing, you know, basically how things are going and how things will go. And this is just how the world looks to Hitler, right?
And what you do, what I do, is study what the elites do. And it's so frustrating when we study from their perspective but with different aims. The public just thinks we're predicting things and getting it true because we're magic. Or I hear, oh, they're insiders. They're being given the info. No, we're trying to teach you how to do this yourselves. Because I believe that's how you empower humanity, as Thomas Jefferson said, is teach people about history and liberty and freedom, and tyranny will vanish like phantoms at dawn.
You know what? You know who called me this morning was G. Edward Griffin, who comes on your show sometimes.
He's awesome.
That guy. The amazing G. Edward Griffin. And I've seen you and him say the exact same thing. I saw you say it some years ago, and he says the same. It's not like we're genius. It's just that we study. We read what they write. You know, and so you've obviously spent a huge amount of time.
Well, that's their pitfall, though. They think of the public will never be scholarly. So their biggest downfall is they admit it all. But in a way, they're right, because the public still won't get it. It's like we have their blueprint for global government. We know their plan. It's evil, and still have to convince people all day. And a lot of people, too, they love a theory with no proof. Like all the trash conspiracy theories, you know. Like, oh, the world's not round. There's an ice wall. Shit like that.
A theory with no proof. Where's Euclid when you need him? You know, they don't even teach Euclid anymore, do they? I bet when you grew up going to school that you went all through Euclid. You know,
I did. Tell people about that they don't know what it is.
Oh, Euclid? Oh, my good. I mean, this guy, I mean, he was when it comes to logic and, you know, this is, you know, the geometer, Euclid, right? You know, and he's quite fascinating. Like, for instance, Proposition 47, what's that? Pythagoras' theorem, right? And if you go to 47, right, and you work your way back, you know, a squared plus b squared equals c squared, right? You know, and if you work all back through the propositions, you'll see that he has given proof for each of his statements, right? And so what I'm getting to is that's not taught anymore. I call it thinking hygiene. A lot of people just don't have They're not taught thinking hygiene. They're taught that.
And they don't have basic building blocks to build off of. Like, they think history's boring, or they think geopolitics is boring. They don't understand as you study more of it, you get more pieces and more historical ideas. You don't just believe it all, different history tracks, and then you go see it for yourself, and you get more and more and more, and it gets more addicting to try to know all the other pieces.
You're right, man, addicting, because you know how it is, Alex. The more you study, the more interesting study becomes. For some reason, like every book that you read after you've studied so much and traveled around.
Well, because you know where they got this and got that, but you don't know this. You go look it up, you find that, and you find it. It's incredible.
And then it gets to the point where you're predicting these crazy things, but it's really not a prediction. You're like cheating. It's like, I've got the answer book. It's like cheating.
No, that's really it. We have the answer book. The bad guys don't want people to have it. And then still some people figured it out, but we're giving you the answer book. You don't have to believe us. We're trying to get you on board with us. The globalists want to keep you dumb. We want to empower you.
Exactly. Like J. Edward Griffin. And this is, by the way, when he just called because about me speaking at his Las Vegas event that he's having in July, right? And this is his book in Japanese. My wife is Japanese, so that's why this book is all worn out. And because she reads it, she spent a lot of time in this book telling Japanese to read it. But Mr. Griffin, I showed him this when we were on the phone when he called, and he said, I didn't know it was still in Japanese. He didn't realize it's still being printed over here. He didn't know that until 20.
But look how fastidious your wife is. The Japanese in general are such beautiful people. Show that book, the beautiful little markers in it, where she has just expertly gone through it all.
Oh, yeah. She studies, man. My wife is brilliant. Man, we had a admit she's pregnant 24 weeks, right? And she's always.
Man, what are you doing, old man? You getting it going on there?
That's good. She's 24 weeks pregnant, and yesterday we had the midwife here, right? So I had her right here. The midwife was right, and the midwife is Japanese, and immediately she picks up this giant dictionary I've got, which is literally like that big, and the Japanese midwife, I've lost her for 10 minutes. She starts immediately going into books the way I do, right? I said to Misako, we were laughing, we're like, look, she does to books what I do. You know, my wife, when we go to antique bookstores in Jimbocho up in Tokyo, my wife is like, they're closed, Michael. We have to leave now.
Another thing. People think AI has everything. It hasn't scooped up the books yet. It just regurgitates whatever the modern crap is. But here's the thing. I'm proud of you. You're not just studying books, getting your wife pregnant. You've been a little busy.
Catherine Austin Fitz asked me, my wife and I, Misako, were staying with Catherine Austin Fitz over in Netherlands for more than a month. And Catherine asked me in December, like, what are your strategic plans for 2026? I said, we're going to make a baby bear. And Catherine, I don't know if she believed it, but that baby was conceived in Netherlands, right? In Stavoren, right? And so then we went up to Hamburg, and that was when Misako realized she was pregnant. We did all the testing. We were in Hamburg because, you know, it's Hamburg. And then we went up to, you know, Sweden and Norway and back to Denmark. And now, you know, and now we're back here. But the point is, man, we're excited. So I'm building let's say an education curriculum for Baby Bear. And Baby Bear, by the way, responds to my voice. If I say kick baby, baby starts kicking up a storm.
Are you predicting it's a boy? Sounds like you're already betting on a boy.
I think it's a boy based on just that's what the midwife thinks as well. And I don't know what it is, but it's just a feeling. But I don't know because we're not doing. We did some ultrasound in the beginning. There was a reason for it. But actually, I was against ultrasound, but we're not doing any more. So we don't actually know if it's a boy or a girl. But the midwife, for whatever reason, you know, she's quite experienced. But it's funny. The midwife was here yesterday. We spent like 5 hours with her, had dinner with her. And you learn more from a midwife. Like yesterday, midwife's got Misako exercising and doing all these stretches and stuff. But also, you know, so I have this really cool stethoscope, sound cancellation, the kind that cardiologists use. And I got it so I could listen to Baby Bear's heart, right, which I can't hear. And so the midwife is like, these things don't work. You have to use the Panard, the wooden ones. The wooden ones work better. In fact, she said a cardboard tube works better than those stethoscopes. So she had my stethoscope on. She said, well, I can hear it kicking. But you know, anytime Baby Bear hears my voice, Baby Bear starts kicking like crazy. And, you know, because Misako and I, we go out to parks and I read books to Misako. And, because we read books to each other. And then Baby Bear starts kicking like mad. But, you know, I've got an old, you know, those old geometry sets that they had from the 1800s, you know, really going through Euclid. Those were old physics. You're not just putting a triangle into a triangle hole and that sort of stuff. They're talking conical sections and made out of wood and spherical sections and all this stuff. So I got one of those off of eBay. They're pretty expensive, but I'm building like a little university here for Baby Bear. We're going to, and I think it's very important that children, they've got to be homeschooled, right? I mean, you've got to at least a huge amount of it has to be done at home, because if you're going to really put somebody on the conveyor belt of knowledge, you need to get on it right then. You know what
no,
I mean?
It's going
to
be I agree, right, but just big picture then, you talk about Trump and a leaf about to blow away. The open insider trading, I just have to report the facts. It makes Pelosi blush. What comes after Trump? What do you see for America?
The process continues, and it's clear that the United States is under great attack. The number one target again in this war in Iran, well, it's not war in Iran, it's a global war, actually. But the number one target
is
clearly
the United States.
It's an
economic detonator to bring down the world economy in the U.S., I agree.
The number one target is clearly the United States. And, you know, some lesser targets, as important as Israel is, that's actually a lesser target. I mean, because just by magnitude. But the United States is clearly, look at, you're in Texas. I mean, that border is on the verge of being burst open again, right? And
I had Bovino on 3 weeks ago, and it's all confirmed. Trump ordered the internal control shut down and the border restrictions cut back. Now they're getting record intercepts now. And he didn't want to say it on air. He said it off air, but he went public after that on Fox saying, no, Trump ordered the internal stand down inside CONUS. What's happened? I mean, it's
yeah, he's a traitor. You know, and you look, when I was down in the Darien, which, you know, I spent a year in Panama since Biden was installed. You know who was down there from the U.S. Army was the 96 Civil Affairs. 96 Civil Affairs is the civil affairs unit that specializes in moving huge numbers of people, right? Not stopping them, but facilitating them, right? The 96 Civil Affairs is the civil affairs that you see down in Panama, right? It's not, you know, Gerald Petraeus, actually, we don't speak anymore, but, you know, he introduced me a few, maybe 4 years ago to the Southcom commander, General Richardson, right? And you know, we didn't get along too well. She's quite woke. my old Green Bray side is all worn off. I'm too rough around the edges these days. I'm not, like, polite to everybody anymore. You know what I mean? So, and she's quite woke.
Yeah, for folks who don't know, the Green Berets are always very humanitarian, very... very diplomatic. You're saying that's worn off.
Yeah, it's kind of worn off. And, you know, at some point, it's just, it is what it is. But, you know, the Southcom is clearly part of the invasion that's happening to the United States, right? Clearly.
Well, let me be clear. Bovino didn't want to say this, but he said it on air, and now he's gone more public. We'll get him on next week, I think. He kept his mouth shut 6 months ago when they killed enforcement internally. And he said, now they're bringing in all the former NGO Democrats and UN NGO people are now being brought in to run things. So they're not just getting rid of all the good guys, they're bringing the bad guys in. And he said, it's Trump. But we're not supposed to listen to Bovino. We just need to support Mr. 10D Chess, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've said it since the beginning when Newt Gingrich called me up years ago to get support for the first election. I was not going to support Trump. I could see right through the guy. I can see his skull.
No, I mean, I get he's not, but I mean, he was better than Democrats in ways. What was the point of putting him in? So I guess the Democrats accelerate, he puts the brakes, we go back to sleep, then he goes back. I mean, what was that about?
It's all part of the same operation. It's just part of the same operation. That's all. It's just a change of shift and... But at the end of the day, they're still moving forward in the game of go, right? And it's a process. It's a process war. It's a process war that's taking many, many generations.
Well, if it's true that RFK is about to be kicked out, that is, I mean, Trump's already lost like 70% of his support. But yeah, I guess he doesn't care because he's a lame duck.
You know, RFK wanted to go to Darien, and I nearly took him until he said on a live podcast that he might be going to Darien soon. That's when I called up a security guy. I'm like, that trip's off. I mean, I can get you down to Darien safely, but not if you're going to tell people in advance on a podcast, you'll get us all killed, right? I mean, it's like, but I mean, if you can do it with your mouth shut, it would be quite simple. But in any case,
let me ask you this: you talked to a lot of current and former military, and your own. We've been hanging out at dinner, whatever. You told me a few of your military stories out of prime out of you, but talking to your military alumni and current folks, what is their sense of what's happening? Because you don't seem to, I mean, you seem concerned, but normally I think you'd harp on the fact that Israel's literally trying to take over the U.S. military and intelligence right now.
Right. Oh, well, we didn't have dinner together, but when I come back to Texas,
well, I don't remember. We hung out or talked to the office or something, or maybe you had lunch at the office or something.
Oh,
I don't
remember.
It's all a blur. Yeah. Dinner for me is wherever I'm eating. But the point was, is you just got into some of your interesting stories.
Yeah. What was the question? Sorry.
I just go back to Israel and the Defense Authorization Act. Clear as day, it says they get lifetime access. A special agent is co-equal to the Secretary of Defense. No one can question him. He can give Israel anything they want. They co-own all our weapons. I mean, to me, this is a big deal.
Right. I mean, they've taken over the United States government. I mean, clearly have taken it hostage. I mean, it's not hostage. I mean, it's a grown over it like kudzu, right? And this is a normal game. You know, and some cultures are, they just do this on a cultural level. It's a normal thing.
No, the Chinese are really good at slow takeovers.
Chinese do it in a similar way, actually. It's very similar. Like, if you read about how Chinese will it's a process. They'll just marry into people and taking, like, if you invade parts of China, they will marry into the invaders and slowly take it back over through.
So the slow blade penetrates the shield.
Yeah, that's right. And so but they look at this in over the horizon war. It's a process war, right? It's not an event. We like to name wars like we'd like to name hurricanes, right? Here's the war. It's like a football
game. We won
the
battle of this or the battle of that. What about what define the war? You must first define a war to win a war.
Right. I mean, you're talking Euclid now, man. Euclid, start with definitions, right? That's where he starts. Define, right? And then name your assumptions. Clearly state your assumptions, right? And then as you're building a logical framework, the third part of that framework, the three layers of that framework, the third layer is to state every rule, every logical rule that links these things together. But clearly state your assumptions and clearly you start with definition is like what you just said.
And then what are the laws of the universe or system you're in?
Exactly.
And then what is the opposition groups or the lay of the land power structures? And then what is your vision or idea?
Well, it's a process war again. And there's standing wars all over the place. I mean, at the end of the day, globalism is a thing that grows. I mean, it grows. It's a vine, right? I mean, the United States was built on company towns, right? The whole country ended up being a company country. The Jones Plantation, everybody should watch that movie, by the way. Andrew Triglia and his crew, those guys, that's an incredible movie. And Barnum World, too. Have you seen the Jones Plantation? It was Doug Casey told Misako and me that we should watch that.
No, I haven't seen it.
Then
we watched it with Doug. Tell me about it.
Jones Plantation is basically everything you always talk about. It's like you got to watch it, man. And the Jones Plantation is basically InfoWars in a movie form. And, you know, talking about how we've only got 37 seconds, but at some point, you should get the producer on. I can introduce you in 5 minutes to it.
Well, about 37 seconds. This is commercial free. We've got to break whenever we want. But in the last 5 minutes in closing, you brought up a lot of fascinating points. Tell us about right after you graduated from Special Forces and that bar fight where you killed the guy. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, I was 19 and I just got through Green Beret training and I went up to, Ocean City, Maryland, and I got attacked by somebody who had actually attacked three other people that day, and I was the third one. And keep in mind, I was 19 years old, and I was, I weighed maybe 160, but underneath my shirt, I was built like Rambo. I mean, I was extremely athletic, like a very serious. And I just got through selection days before, actually. But, as an athlete, as a kid, people would basically – that's why when I got on my two different Special Forces A teams. They called me Bam Bam because I was so strong, right? And it was kind of, as my Special Forces cousin would call it, he said I was retard strong. And I don't know how I got that strong, actually, but because I never used steroids. But I was, anyway, what I'm getting to is I look like I was like 14 years old. And actually, people in the Army would make fun, like, did you steal your father's uniform? I mean, you know, because I look like I'm like 14 years old. I made it through. When I went through basic training, I graduated number one out of 240 people, right? So, I mean, I wasn't 14 years old. I was a man. When I was 19 years old, I was not a teenager. I was a man, right?
No, I get it.
And so that guy, he had fought other people that day, had almost got fired from his job. He was going to get fired. I learned these things later. Anyway, he attacked me, and it didn't work out well for him. And I lit him up. And so it was just a fist fight. That's all it was. And he died on the spot. And so I didn't kick him or anything when he hit the ground. It was just, you know, defensive punches.
Did he die from his head in the ground, or did he die from your blows?
I got his autopsy, and he had subarachnoid hemorrhages and that sort of thing. According to the autopsy, it was the punches, they don't really know what caused it. I don't know. In any case, he was
But
dead.
You got hauled up and looked at, and they found out you were the guy defending yourself.
Well, there were a lot of witnesses. Luckily, I had tried many times to get people to help me to get him to leave me alone. Luckily. I had tried, I think, 7 times or 8 times. I don't remember from the investigation. Like, I had asked, I was 19, man. I just got out of Special Forces training. I was looking for girls. You know what I mean? I was a testosterone missile. I don't want to fight some idiot. You know what I mean? He had a tattoo that said death before dishonor, that sort of stuff. I don't want to fight that guy. And one of the things that you're warned about when you go through Green Beret selection, it's like, hey, big tough guy's right. If you make it through selection and you get into a fight somewhere, or you get a DUI or something like that, if you get into any trouble whatsoever, you will be kicked out before you get back to base, right? I mean, you will not remain in this unit if you get into a fight downtown or something, right? Because they don't want people, you know, basically morons in the unit, right? They want serious people that they can raise up into being even more serious. So I didn't want to fight that guy. And I had tried, luckily, I'd tried to get a lot of help. So it wasn't like I was trying to fight him. But anyway, once he was clearly knocked out and gone, then the people, I didn't know he was dead, but then these guys come try to get me, right? And I talk about this in my Danger Close book. And I escaped from those guys. One of them got me in an arm lock, and I got out of that, and I got out of there. The guys were chasing me, but there's no way they could catch me. So, you know, I changed, went into disguise, that sort of thing. It's in my book, Danger Close. And the reason I wrote that in the book Danger Close is because for years that followed me around. And the story always followed around. There was yellow journalism after the – that's why at 19 I learned so many things from that case. One is despite how obviously innocent that I was, still I was a Green Beret and the Rambo movie was popular and all those sorts of things. And so, you know, automatically, and I just got through selection. So imagine how that looks. New Green Beret gets through selection and goes out and gets into a fight. That's not what happened. Yeah, I went through selection, but the guy attacked me, right? And he had attacked 3 other people that day, right? And he had destroyed the kitchen where he worked and he was about to get fired. So the guy attacks me and he's gone. So I'm back on base and I report to, you know, I went to jail. I got arrested in jail for a few days. And then I get released on Monday, I think it was. I think the fight may have been Friday. And they released me on my own recognizance. I went back to Fort Bragg. I report to the commander. I'm like, you know, I had a rough weekend. And he's like, you know, we've heard. And so the next thing you know, I go through the next selection class with them, helping the next selection go through while I'm facing murder charges, right? So what was so many lessons in this? Like, I'm going through actual explosives training while I'm facing murder charges. You can't make up this stuff. It was like a weird movie. And then, you know, the charges ended up getting dropped. It lasted for about 6 months. My attorney, his name was Daniel Long. He ended up becoming a judge in Maryland, Daniel Long. But Daniel Long, I was like, you know, Mr. Long, he took my case pro bono because he saw the merit. and which I've been thankful for the rest of my life. He took my anyway. So, you know, he comes to the jail and I'm in the jail like Major Payne, you know, he basically said, you know, you can tell me your story if you want. I may or may not take your case. And, you know, I'm behind the plexiglass and all that, you know, my orange suit and all that. And I said, well, basically, this is the best bet I've got. And he said, what did you tell the police? I said, nothing except my name and that I'm from Fort Bragg. That's it. I didn't say anything else. And it's interesting because later, other lawyers that looked at the case, everybody said, that's amazing that you didn't say anything except your name and where you're stationed. And I said, I'm not saying anything. You know why I didn't say anything was because when I was in eighth grade, it's not because I was a Green Beret. It's because when I was in eighth grade, my civics teacher, Mr. Simon, one day he said in class, he said, if you ever get arrested, it doesn't matter what it's for. It doesn't matter if you're completely innocent and you were in a different state when it happened or something. Never, ever talk to the police. And I was like, wow, why is Mr. Simon so fired up? You know, I like Mr. Simon. And he was just all emotional about it. I was like, something must have happened to Mr. Simon, you know, but I never forgot that. So when I got arrested, I'm like, and actually the chief investigator, his name was Bokinski, Lieutenant Bokinski. He said that later on that department talked about that case for years and they would talk about how I said, you know, they all thought I was Mr. Tough Guy Green Beret but it was reality. I said, I'm sorry, I would like to talk with you, but my eighth grade, civics teacher told me never to talk to the police. I actually said that to him while I'm all handcuffed to the chair and all that. And, you know, and they said they joked about that for years. I'm like, well, that was true, actually. So we get near Christmas. That happened in about August, I think, or July, maybe July. And anyway, so we get to August, or we get to Christmas, and I'm asking Daniel Long, my attorney, I said, why is this case dragging out? I mean, the evidence is there's so many witnesses. I mean, like, I've seen the stacks of witness statements, and everybody, even his own brother's on my side, right? His own brother was saying he was out of control. And so and he said, because it's a big case, it's in the news, the media's doing their yellow journalism. That's when I was like, I can't believe this. I'm facing murder charges. And the media is throwing gas on it, and you can find some of this stuff on maybe newspapers.com.
No, that's I've been through similar things. That's what they do. Once it's big, they won't let it die.
Oh, you've been through this in a bigger way. I mean, in a much bigger way, in a much bigger way than I did. I was 19 years old, and it was big for me, obviously, at the time. Compared to what you've gone through, it's not that big at all.
Well, I had a case like yours when I was 15, but because the guy was a convicted convict and all the witnesses, he just got shut down. And then nothing happened, but I was similar story. This guy was like running around crazy, ex-convict out of prison, and same thing basically happened. And took him a few weeks to die. But after that, they looked at indicting me, but then they dropped it because it was the same type of story. But it wasn't.
What happened to him?
He died. But I mean, the point was is that.
I mean, yep.
I mean, from the
you guys get fight or shoot him or what?
No, I mean, he attacked me, and I'm you know, and then.
Right.
But the point was, similar story. He was running around attacking people, doing all this stuff, like 27, ex-con, you know, Nazi, you know, a lot bigger than me. And then we were out at this lake house with a party, high schoolers. I guess he lived next door with his parents, and he came in there and was beating people up and stuff. And then people were like, oh, Alex Jones is back there playing poker. Better watch out. He's a badass, which I wasn't. And I'd actually had my leg broken in another fight months before, so I was in a boot. This guy busts through the door with his shirt off. It's the middle of the winter, shirt off, Nazi tattoos everywhere, you know, like 6'3", probably 200 pounds. And who's Alex Jones? I'm going to kill you. And that whole thing started, but by the end of it, he was in a coma and then died a few weeks later. But the point was, is that it was a similar thing. But then I was lucky because one group tried to indict me, but they had to drop it just because there was too many witnesses. And, you know, that's I have a similar story. But I didn't kill him on the spot.
Yeah.
Took a few weeks.
You learned a lot from that. You learned a lot from that. That's the kind of education it's unbelievable what you learned going through something like that. One of the things I learned in my case was, you know, it gets up to near Christmas. I'm like, you know, I'm basically held in animated suspension here. I'm still doing training, weirdly, you know, and which was nice for me. But and he said, Daniel Long said, my attorney, he said, well, you know, it's a very political case here in Maryland. You know, I was back at Fort Bragg, and he said, and so they're going to wait. He goes, you know, he knows the prosecutor, so they're going to wait until Christmas, on the Christmas break. They're going to bring it to the grand jury when basically all the media is, you know, busy with Christmas. And he thinks that the grand jury will drop the case, which they did. And I said, so in other words, I'm being held in suspended animation because these journalists have hyped it up and people are in it, you know, it's anti-military stuff. And he's like, yeah, basically. And so ever since that time, I never trusted the media again. That's part
you
of
you got a lesson on the feeding frenzy right up front. So if Israel's going to be sacrificed, what are the scenarios? I mean, would the globalists even set off a nuke on Israel themselves to trigger World War III or hot flash World War III? Or how do you see Israel if it's being set up for sacrifice, which I agree, lowest approval rating, most hated, everything they do is to make them hated. They can make Jews rally and support them, you know, in the psychology. What happens to Israel?
Right. You can see that they're, you know, I was thinking about that more today. They're clearly trying to create hatred against Israel in the United States because nothing can be weaponized more than hatred. You know, hatred only has two ingredients, and that's anger plus disgust. So if you add anger plus disgust, you'll get hatred, right? And that hatred is what you can use as gasoline for the war. How will they physically do it? I don't know. I mean, there's so many ways it could happen. I just don't know. But it's clearly you can see that they're setting up the moves. They're setting conditions for a lot of the Israelis are in the way of the Zionists at this point, just like happened in China. You know, the true communists got in the way of Mao, right? And so, at some point that.
Yeah, exactly. The real purges always happen within a group's own cult. Because that's where it's got more beefs and where it can play victim and where it's got more control.
Right. They always come after the internal guys, right? They always get smashed.
Jens Rohn, I mean, the brown shirts, not the long knives. Same story over and over again.
Right. I mean, so if you're like a member of one of these groups and you think you're part of the in crowd, one of the things I've said to, I mean, some very serious people, if you're a member of a royal family or you're a big executive at BlackRock or something, of which there are, if you took the jab, you're not part of the club. If you didn't get the secret knock not to take the jab, you are not part of the club, period.
Look at the head of YouTube, took like four of them and died of cancer right away. They're not getting the memo.
No. And it's like, what's that guy, the Dilbert guy, you know, Scott Adams. I mean, he was pushing universal basic income. He thought he was part of the club. You know, he blocked me at one point. I'm like, hey, you know, you're dealing with fire here. They will come after you eventually.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah. They're like a liberal at heart. We're doing this greater thing for everybody's good, and they're naive. And he admitted later, before he died, he was wrong.
Yeah, a little too late, right? I mean, this is war. You get something wrong, and you're dead. It's that simple, right? And it is an actual war. And for those who don't recognize it yet, it's you better get on it because this is big boy rules, and in big boy rules, there is no appeal. You make one mistake and you're just dead. It's simple, and the world keeps
turning. I'm
going to
give you the floor for
forgotten.
5 minutes. Any other key points you haven't made? Amazing interview on Twitter at Michael_Yon, Y-O-N, MichaelYon.com, MichaelYon.locals.com. Other key points you want to make? Powerful interview, Michael Yon. Thanks for being here. Go ahead.
Right. My most serious stuff is on Substack, actually, on Substack. But right, some of the most serious points are this war is not going away, right? So I keep hearing people talk about peace talks. I'm like, there's no time for that. There's no peace talks. That's just nonsense. That's just popcorn for the crowd, right? This is going to be a continuous war because you've got both things going there, a standing war and a process war. You've got both going. It's just not going to go away. That's like thinking the weather's going to go away. It's like the weather's not going to go away. And, you know, it changes shape and form all the time and things change, but it's still there, and that's what's going to happen there in the Middle East. It's not, you know, if I were the Iranians and the United States wanted to take some place like Karg Island, I would let us take it. I'd let the United States take that. I think that's what I would do. I would need more details about the real situation, but if the United States puts troops on Karg Island, that's a staked goat. We're putting our troops there that they'll get slaughtered. I mean, of course. Any troops that you put on Karg Island, they're going to be naked against a storm of hot steel, right? Rockets and artillery and mines that'll be all over the place.
I'm interrupting. I said I wouldn't, but yeah, Trump talked about sending in troops. He says we only need a small number. I know the head of the army told him 100,000 to take the Strait of Hormuz. That's probably low. Karg Island, I mean, it's all, people don't know, that's like designed as a historic trap. 2,000, 3,000 foot cliffs, 5,000 foot mountains, their main military concentration. They know we're going to come there. It's a giant trap, and they got artillery, missiles, all that stuff up close. They're going to have total superiority, and Trump is literally trying to get the Pentagon to send in the 82nd Airborne and 2,000 Marines. That's a suicide mission.
Yeah, straight up. And all the serious military people will see right through that. And so now you get a bunch, thousands of our troops killed, many Americans will say, well, we got to use nukes or whatever. I mean,
exactly. It's meant to get us committed to a full war because they know the average American's against the war, but you just killed our people. We're not losers. We're going full on.
Right.
And you know, Israel's advising that, telling Trump, like Lindsey Graham said, 2,000 Marines. I believe in our Marines. They can take that. What? It took what? Talk about Iwo Jima. Right. 110,000 Marines and sailors, 80-something thousand Marines, 25,000 defending Japanese. We lost 20-something thousand people, and it took them a month to take it. And people weren't pussies back then, okay? So, I mean, imagine the comparison here to Iwo Jima.
Right. Okinawa, so many more. I mean, we would lose so many of our Marines. And,
well, you're an expert on this, and I interrupted you. Talk about the type of arms we face. This isn't even high tech now. We're up against major kinetic forces, ready to go, conventional stuff, 20-to-1 superiority in troops. I mean, obviously, no one would ever do that if they didn't want a trap to be set for us. Describe from military background what it would take to take Kurg Island, which is then a giant target for everybody to attack up close, versus talk about trying to take the entire Iranian side of that bowl, that trap that's the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, Matt Bracken talks about that all the time, and he does so with more detail than I'll zoom out, actually, and look at a more strategic level. It's clear that our military is being killed off through various mechanisms, right? And they're setting conditions now to do a draft. And as I've been saying for years, they'll draft those people that came through the Darien Gap. They'll draft the Haitians. They'll have, you know, IDF and all those guys will be our special operations forces, our Delta Force and all that. That'll be dual citizens or Israelis, right? I mean, these people, our military, kill off the patriots and then use our military gear and our structure to genocide Americans. That's clearly part of that's the clear direction that they're going. So it's, you know, looking way beyond, Karg Island in Iran. Clearly, the number one target is the United States. So that's the Strait of Hormuz right there. And, back in July of 2025, I published that I thought, and I said this very, very clear words the way I talk, that I think that the Zionists are likely to take close the Strait of Hormuz and blame Iran. I put that on my Substack. And I published that multiple times in different places, or saying in interviews, because it was obvious. I mean, it wasn't like some giant leap of brilliance. It was just like an obvious move.
Iran did it, but they already passed a law to do it. By attacking them, Israel did it first. They had them do it. They knew the next move. They triggered the closure.
Yeah, because remember, let's go back to Euclid. Define your definitions. Famine.
If you hit the beehive, the bees come out. Israel hits the beehive, the bees come out. Israel closes the strait.
It's clear that the Zionist architecture wishes to create global famines. Clear. That's how we predicted Nord Stream. That's how we predicted Groningen. That's how we predicted the screw worms. 5 years in advance predicted the screw worms. In writing, multiple times, right?
You were on my show 3 years ago saying screw worms, screw worms.
Yeah, and 5 years ago is when I reached out to the USDA asking to tour their facility in Panama, right? And I published that email like 100 times, right? And so you can find it instantly. So the point is, how do we predict that? Because, you know, we're looking at what we think is, we're assuming that they want to create global famine. We're assuming that because that's what they say, right? And that's what they're actually doing, right? So it's not just out of the blue. And then, you know, we're basically assembling.
John Kerry said 2 years ago before he left, U.S. climate envoy, we must cut food production in half or people will starve. We must ban half the farms. They're doing it.
clearly doing it. And if you wanted to create a global famine, what would I would start with a Carver matrix, of course, which is a planning tool for a sabotage campaign. I would take out Nord Stream. I would take out Germany, of course. I would take out Groningen, a gas.
They're field, trying to ban the process of using hydrogen in Europe for fertilizer.
Right. I mean, so they're you mean the natural gas to create the nitrogenous fertilizer?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So that's the Haber-Bosch process. And, you know, which they started using that in 1914, at BASF there in Ludwigshafen, Germany. Anyway, I could talk for hours about this. And so I've been to BASF twice before Nord Stream was interrupted. Masako and I were at Nord Stream 14 days before Nord Stream got blown up. Masako and I were at Ludwigshafen, Germany, inside the BASF plant. BASF, as some people call it. We were inside the plant, and I asked the guy giving us the tour, what happens to BASF if something happens to Nord Stream? That's why we were there. We were there because we thought something was going to happen. I had an iPad that I bought to do nothing but check the cubic meters per second that were flowing through Nord Stream. And I just kept it open beside me for months, right? That iPad. And finally, it went to zero. All the readings went to zero. But that guy at BASF, he said, you know, if Nord Stream is closed, we are dead. Well, BASF is not dead, but definitely they've been impacted, right? And so, but what would I do? What would I do if I wanted to create global famines? I did a Carver matrix. That's why I picked Groningen and Nord Stream and Darien Gap and all these different places, right? So I did my Carver matrix. That's a planning tool. All the CIA guys on the operation side and the Green Berets know what I'm talking about. Criticality, accessibility, recuperability, vulnerability, effect, and recognizability. That's Carver, right? So that's your matrix, your planning tool. I just did the simple matrix. And I picked out the targets. And I'm like, I would close the
and explain that. If you have an enemy goal, you know they do what they say they're going to do. Then you assess as a battle plan, as if you work for them, what is your attack plan, the best attack plan to carry out that mission. Now you know the enemy attack plan.
Yeah, I was red teaming it, and I still am, right? I would close Strait of Hormuz. I would go for Turkish Straits. I would go for...
Blow up the Nord Stream, shut down Ukraine, major fertilizer producer.
Absolutely. Turkish Straits will stop that fertilizer from flowing from Russia and Ukraine from it through the Turkish Straits.
And now, right? How much with 100 plus days of the strait closed is baked in, even if the war ended today, which I don't think is going to happen very soon, as you said, this particular arm of it, it's just baked in huge economic problems.
Massive, massive. And, you know, I would take Suez, of course, Gibraltar and Danish Strait. That's why we were just up at Danish Strait. I would take Panama. A lot of Zionists are moving into Panama, like a lot. And China is too. So they're both demographically going heads up there. I would take Malacca. And that's why the Chinese want to build that canal or a passageway across Kara Isthmus right now.
Sure. What is China's relationship to Israel?
They don't want them around. They don't want them around. I mean, China was created like the Soviet Union was created. Keep in mind that that's not a synthetic country either. I mean, that is a synthetic country. That's not the China that we see today is more like the Soviet Union. You know, a couple of weeks ago, one of the nephews of the Dalai Lama invited Masako and me to up to something in Tokyo at the Diet, which is their parliament. So we went up there. But in any case, what I'm getting to is all Tibet and all the Uyghurs and all that stuff. That's like the old, you know, Xinjiang and all that. I've been up to Tibet and all these places looking at this. That's like a Soviet Union China style, right? It's synthetic. It was hobbled together in service to getting control of those routes and resources, right? So China and Israel, now China has got its own legs now, of course, serious legs. They want Haifa, of course. China wants control of Suez, of course. And of course, Russia would want, everybody wants control of Suez. And China, of course, wants control of Haifa. Everybody that could get control of Haifa would want it, right? And so, likewise with the Bab al-Mandeb. That's why the...
Yeah, bottom line, the battle for the future of the world is happening now. People need to wake up to it and understand it. And you said your Substack's the most important place. What's that again?
My name, Michael Yon, or Big Honey. Big Honey, or just Michael Yon, my name on my Substack.
All right, Michael Yon, thanks for giving us an hour and a half. Incredible interview. Amazing. I don't know how many clips we're going to put out of this. It's all so important, but everybody else is welcome to. This show belongs to the world. It's copyright, trademark free. Use it however you want. It's a non-exclusive global license. We have a license for it. You have a license for it. This belongs to all of you. Use it, re-upload it, clip it out. Amazing. Michael Yon, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I want to thank the crew for a superlative job today. There is a lot of stacks I didn't get to. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. But that's okay. We got to 7 or 8 stacks. And we had a deep dive with Michael Yon, really next-level thinking, how it all interconnects. That the guy is really smart. We appreciate him giving us that time today. Please remember, this dog don't hunt without your word of mouth. Share the live feed right now. When it'll flip over to the start of the show if you missed any of that. Taking Bongino and the FBI out of the woodshed. On X, Real Alex Jones. Follow us also at AJN Live. AJN Live. That's the network feed. AJN Live at AJN Live on X. And on Rumble. Rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. That's the official site there. If you want to find it all in one place, go to AlexJonesLive.com. That's our news site with all the feeds, audio feeds, video feeds, news articles, everything right there at AlexJonesLive.com. And this stuff isn't out till Monday, but I want to show the B-roll of the 250th anniversary shirts that are limited edition that go on sale Monday, because Bigley has made over 700 shirts for us. It's ridiculous how prolific they are. And a lot of them are great. Some of them are okay. Some of them are the best. These shirts, I had a hand in kind of the basic design ideas. They knocked it out of the park. And these are all limited edition, ball caps, T-shirts, you name it. Very, very nice. They're great conversation pieces. People, you'll recognize it, that are patriots. Leftists won't know what it is, so they won't kill you. But you know, get classic Gadsden flag, classic Betsy Ross flag. It's all there, really classy, clean, 1776 free. Just a lot of amazing designs. Those are not on sale yet, but just bookmark it. There's a bunch of other. Look at that one. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. I came up with that one. And so it's all there. A lot of great 250th anniversary, Liberty or Death, 1776, 2026. Just really cool, top flight, clean designs. America, 250 years strong. I did that simple design, but some of the other designs are theirs. But yeah, I've gotten directly involved in all this. Destroying Tyranny since 1776, I came up with that. My design there, I mean, their guys did it, but they did a great job. So it's not available yet, but I guess midnight Sunday, tomorrow night, it'll be available at thealexjonesstore.com. But what is available is the highest rated gravity fed filter, the very best filters, cuts all the forever chemicals out to non-detectable levels. So you can't say legally it's not there. It just says top spectrometers, top, you know, third party firms cannot find anything. Nothing but pure clean water. Does tens of thousands of gallons per unit till you have to replace the filters. Beautiful stainless steel, the very best. They knocked it out of the park. I know the gravity fed filter market. People go look at the test. They look at the quality. No, this is the best. I am blown away. Just like I did with their methylene blue, was not even a dietary supplement level. They got actual super medical grade. That's why it's so much better than everybody else's. They knocked it out of the park on that. They knocked it out of the park on this. Our CMOS is the best. Our Shilajit is the best. Our bovine colostrum is the best. So most of it's just private label, whatever's the top rated. But this filter, they took to the next level, one of the top manufacturers. It is incredible. So thealexjonesstore.com, the backup site that has some of the stuff that's sold out that you can't find at thealexjonesstore.com. They hold back some at realalexjones.com. So be sure and check out that shopping cart as well. I'm going to air a little two-minute ad about the water filtration system. And I was going to do this. They have a bunch of AI shows now that do reviews of us. And I loved how the AI was a little sneaky and lied about what we were covering. But I'll get to that tomorrow because the crew's been here. We've been on air, you know, basically 3 hours, and I'm going to shut this down. But tomorrow night, Lord willing, I'll be back 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Mountain, 2 p.m. Pacific with the Sunday Night Live from 4 to 8 p.m. And remember, the bad guys have moved heaven and earth trying to get us off the air. But thanks to you, your word of mouth, your prayer, your financial support, thealexjonesstore.com, we are still here. And that is simply amazing. Now I'm going to go sit down with the crew. Got a couple of great crew here. We're going to try to look at this great 3-hour show and like get these clips out, so you know, different topics, so those of you who don't have a lot of time can see it and share it. But just remember, this war is all about you taking action. It's all about your agency, your will. You can take control of your destiny and you sharing the information at alexjoneslive.com and Real Alex Jones on X and Rumble as well. So that's it. Great job to the crew. We believe in you. We respect you. We think when you're given the facts, you'll be able to make the right decisions to lead humanity in the future. because you are the modern Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. God bless you all. Now, please take action. Get the very best products under the sun that also finance the most hardcore program countering tyranny, promoting liberty in the world. I'm Alex Jones. Thank you so much. The ball's in your court. This water filter is even better than the best gravity-fed filters. Reduces everything, takes everything out to non-detectable levels. That's the technical name, because you can't find it, but under the federal law, the spectrometers find nothing. You just say non-detectable. All the glyphosate, all the atrazine, the thousands of other chemicals, it's all taken out. And it's beautiful stainless steel, highest quality, at a price lower than stuff that isn't even stainless steel, and the filters aren't even as good. This is the best, thealexjonesstore.com. This is the platinum, the very best of gravity-fed filters. Everybody needs to filter their water. If you let all the runoff and toxins and things that are going on, the number one place you get is the water, even worse, the air, food, you're crazy. Your children, your wife, your husband, your crew members, your employees, this does 3 gallons. You just fill it up, and you got water for days for drinking, cooking, you name it. Put it in your kitchen, put it in your cabin, put it in your business. TheAlexJonesStore.com, it is amazing. I've already shown you the documents. We have articles running, reports running. Ads running. It's posted at thealexjonesstore.com. The test that this is the very best water filtration with the very best stainless steel housing. It is a work of art. Thealexjonesstore.com. And Sunday is the last day at midnight to get 50% off on Ultimate Life Force. And that is a horse pill right here. We just took the two top brands of Spike Protein Detox, Cardiovascular Booster. Checked with scientists and doctors and formulators. It was okay to combine the two formulas into these horse pills. So this is the strongest, best detox cardiovascular booster. Everybody should be on this at least a few times a year as a regimen. It's good to take year-round. That's 50% off. That ends in a couple days. Up to 40% off all the other products, the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss. Massive end-of-spring sale going right now at thealexjonesstore.com.